Hi, you're listening to the Lincoln Cast, and
you want to try that again, noob?
No,
it's good. Hey, it's good.
Doing it live.
doing it live, even though it's recorded. Episode 26 for the week of October 27th. That's one number apart. That's crazy, right? I'm your host, Nubarama, and with me here today are self-confessed cynic.
Hello.
Fuck,
I love that you actually took
so much
intro.
Time. Wow. Okay, Durin.
That was. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it.
Yeah.
I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it.
Thurbletal.
I think I
Greetings
like
and
it.
Salutations. How are all of you doing?
That's my.
I'm doing well.
Question. Shut up! I get to ask questions. What are you doing? Okay.
You did it wrong. It's how are you doing?
I'm recording a podcast.
Dear self-confessed, how's your week been? You've been gone for, what, three
Who
episodes?
Who are you talking
three
to?
Episodes? You self-confessed.
Okay. All right, sure.
Sinek, you've been gone for many episodes. How have you been?
I've been doing... I had work. I had a lot of work. And
no, let's be honest here. You fucking abandoned us.
Is this like a CNN
get a podcast
like, interview?
Done. What?
the way
yeah,
you
it starts with
question.
A cold question, and then it starts with yeah. Disgust.
You've been gone for a few weeks now. How have you been?
Have you been, Cynic?
I just answered that. I don't like answering the same question.
No, look. Okay, so what have you been up to this week, Cynic? You haven't been on the podcast.
Are we going to what are we playing?
For two episodes.
Is that what I'm supposed to be talking about?
And you've abandoned us.
Fuck! I don't even understand anymore. God, just throw me for a loop. What do you actually want from me? What do you want from me?
Okay, what have you been doing this week, Cynic?
What have been doing? So you asking what kind of games I've been playing, or just like what I've been
just,
doing?
Just what kind? What'd you eat for breakfast today?
I haven't eaten breakfast yet. It is noon. I haven't eaten.
No,
breakfast
it's
yet.
It's actually 9:39
p.m. Part of the day.
Yeah, I know, but I had to like get online and contact this dickhead called Nubarama, and then. Oh, he was playing Arma 2. It's just like, what the
I wasn't. I was launching like... Arma 2, and then you started messaging me, and I had to close the game. What the jerk?
Yeah, I was wondering why you were launching Arma 2 not 10 minutes before we were supposed to be online to record this podcast.
Hey, Cindy, is it okay if we record the podcast on Saturday night? I'm like, okay, sure. I show up on time. And of course, and Durin shows up on time. He's like, and Thurbleton gets online at around the right time.
And
even
I'm
though
never
he's
on
to
time.
On the show. And then, yeah, Nubarama.
Whatever. Okay, what have you been playing this week, Cynic? That's the question I asked you. Stop changing the question, asshole.
Well, I kind of want to talk about the two movies I watched first.
Okay.
Because they were
pretty
cool.
What movies have you seen?
So, well, one of them was pretty cool. Paranormal Activity 4 was one of them.
Was that the fourth fucking movie? Jesus.
You watch all of them, right?
Yes. Well, no, I've watched every one except for two.
Okay. How would you compare that? I know Patrick said that 1 and 3 were his favorites, 2 and 4 were the weak ones.
Yep.
How would you compare 4 to 1 and 3, given that you didn't watch 2?
1 and 3 were excellent, 4 was a piece of shit.
Mm. Okay, so I need to not go see 4 then. Gotcha.
Well, okay, so 4 has jump scares. Well, it's pretty good in the tension. It does everything right for the first half, and then it just falls apart. It just completely falls apart for the second half.
Does it go like real deep back into the whole like cult bullshit?
Yeah,
the first one stuff.
Okay,
like,
so have you watched 3?
Yeah, I watched all 3 of the. All
right, so a couple of spoilers, probably for people who give a shit.
Anybody who gives a shit about Paranormal Activity probably has
watched
them
it.
Because
yeah,
there's such a small number of people really that give a shit.
Exactly. So
in the grand scheme of things,
if back horror movies in general, anyway. At the end of Paranormal 3, when he walks into the garage sequence, and you see all the women, right? You see all those women.
Yeah.
It's hard to remember that movie with every other movie in which the guy opens the garage door and there's all the women.
Exactly.
Okay, this is the one that was not on Cinemax.
And you know that part, how it, at that very moment, the entire movie loses all scariness?
Yes.
It's kind of like
because it becomes every other horror movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like that for the last part.
See, that's what made the first one so great.
Yeah.
Is it like it didn't ride on any kind of trope?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Well, aside from the found footage, obviously. But
well, I mean, but that wasn't even really a trope. Like that was it's done so rarely.
Yeah.
And done well so rarely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt the first one... The first one set the bar for fan footage films today. Like the 2010 plus fan footage films. Mm. But then after that, it's, I feel like even the paranormal movies are just kind of cribbing off the first paranormal movie.
I felt like as soon as they started including CG into them, that ruined the movies.
Absolutely.
Like, right. That was what made the first one so good, is they got away from, and they talked about this on I believe the most recent Bombcast as well. But like, they got away from the reliance on CG and the jump scares and all that, and kind of brought it back to just creepy tension, atmosphere,
shitload of tension,
the bump in the night kind of stuff.
In the first movie, the part where he walks out into the backyard is still one of the most terrifying things to me in all of cinema.
And what made the first one so great was that, like, in any other movie, that ending part where you saw him, like, what was it? He, like, flew down the stairs or whatever.
Flew out the camera.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then she comes up out of the stairs or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that would have looked cheesy as hell in, like, any other movie. But because the rest of that movie up to that last couple of minutes was so grounded in reality with just kind of the subtle little things here and there, like the footsteps and the sounds and whatever and her possessions, like, it made that part that much more impactful. Because you believed everything that was happening up to that point.
And
it wasn't so out of the realm of reality.
Adam Savage talks about it on the most recent, I think it was the most recent, it's the most recent, like, Adam Savage project tested podcast thing, where they talked about Halloween and therefore scary movies. He talked about how in, I believe it was American Werewolf in London or something like that. One of the old, like, mid-90s scary movies. He does a good thing. The director there does a good thing where something comes up on the screen which indicates that something scary is going to happen, right? But then the director pauses for not, like, a beat, which would give enough people enough time to close their eyes or whatever, but, like, two or three beats. So those people would have opened their eyes again, and then the scary thing happens. Paranormal One did exactly the same thing for that sequence where he walks, he's there in the bedroom, he hears something coming up the stairs, he walks out of the bedroom into the dark hallway so you can no longer see him. So it's just the plain bedroom and there's darkness to the door to the hallway.
Yeah.
And then nothing happens for a couple of seconds and there's no sound or anything. It's just the eerie, like, white noise, like amped up white noise they use in a lot of paranormal stuff. And then the scary thing happens. And that was fucking perfect. Absolutely.
Yeah, that couple of seconds of hesitation.
So does it just, like, lack the subtlety of that, or?
Absolutely. The second half.
I think the biggest problem they had is after that first movie, going forward, they felt like they needed to flesh out the backstory of all of it, and that's what killed Paranormal Activity.
To some extent.
There wasn't a backstory. There wasn't really a story to the first one.
Even the backstory part did ruin, like, the closing couple of minutes of that movie. But the rest of that movie was still a very, like, successfully done fan footage horror movie. Like, it was really...
Well, I think that's the really important part, though, is that as soon as you start to put a story to it, that's what kills the found footage stuff. Like, that's why the first one was so good. That's why the first Blair Witch is highly regarded by a lot of people, is because there isn't kind of the centralized story and, like, the narrative going throughout the movie. It's just kind of a series of events happening to these people, and you're just there, you know, along for the ride in the video camera.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I love the fan footage genre, as it's become today, even though, cause I really want to check out VHS. Like, I really want to check
out. Yeah. I heard them talking about that on Giant Bomb, and I was at work and I actually, like, wrote it down on a post-it note cause I want to make sure I find that movie.
I've
never heard about it.
I'm not sure if it's already come out here than left cinemas or it hasn't come out here yet. Cause we get weird cinema, like, release times.
Oh, so what's that? It's actually a new movie. Okay.
Yes, it's very new.
I've actually heard, like, you guys get some movies months before the US
does. Yep, some movies months before, some movies months after, some, like, the really big blockbusters.
I want to say
we usually get the day before. Oddly, I don't know, but
isn't it like a lot of the stuff that's filmed in New Zealand? You guys tend to get pretty early too, right?
We usually get the day before you guys
do. Okay.
That's most of the big stuff nowadays, or a lot of the stuff anyway.
You make a good point with, like, there's. I really enjoy the movies that are like the either the low budget horror, just like just any story that has it starts off on its own. It's not some prequel or sequel, and either intentionally or, like, just accidentally, they leave enough stuff in the movie for fans to make their own conclusion of, like, what happened before and after.
Wait a second.
Like,
wait a second.
What
is that? A fucking CRT in your background?
You mean the one that is acting as a stand for pizza boxes? Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
Right? So basically, fuck? For those who can't see, like, we can see Thurbleton's video footage, and he's in like this. It looks like
Thurbleton's?
He's outdoors.
We can't
right?
see anyone
like,
else's.
No, no, no. Basically, right. So it looks like he's outdoors. It looks like it's some sort of park, and there's is that I don't know. Is that a dumpster? I can't tell. Either way,
what's weird about the whole setup there? What's weird about the setup? I just want to point this out to you. Is not only is there a CRT there, mm-hmm. but it seems like the seat for that desk is actually a bar stool.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there was a taller actually, bar stool pushed under the desk as well.
I think this is where the recycling
go,
is. Okay.
Go.
I have a story. I went, like, this is years ago. Mm-hmm. I went to, I think it was like one of the hardware stores, and I didn't know what, like, you know, stool to get for, you know, this moving with a bunch of friends and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just picked
Wait,
one.
Why do you want it? Why do you need a stool?
We got like some countertop for the kitchen,
okay. right,
like area, and
oh, like the breakfast bar thing,
like a bar table. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I got one, and I wasn't sure if this would be the right height, and so I bought it. Wrote on the bottom, stool sample.
What the fuck?
I sink in. It was the sample to see if I wanted to get more.
Okay, sure.
Right. Okay. What's wrong with stool samples,
did you like it?
Man?
Did it succeed?
There's Everyone nothing would... disgusting about that.
That's the higher one. We end up getting like three lower ones, but that I still have that one. I gave one to each of the buddies as we left that place, but I kept the sample, as
the
well
stool
as,
sample,
one smaller one. Okay.
So as you're saying, so, what were you saying about horror movies? I was entirely
wait. Okay, so Cynic, you said Paranormal Activity 4 was bad, and you saw two movies, right? One was
that's correct.
Cool. Which
yes.
one was this cool movie?
So the
Please
second one I watched,
Master.
Which turned out to be surprisingly awesome, was Dread.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
3D Dread.
The fuck's Dread?
Wait, not Judge Dread.
Let us sink in. On the box.
As a horror movie?
Just the second movie I watched this weekend.
Okay.
On all the advertising, if you look it up on IMDb, if you look it up on in our your cinema listings, it's called 3D Dread.
That's because like they really push for making it only in 3D.
I thought it was Dread 3D.
You would think so. So not only is it not immediately apparent what the fucking movie is, because
so
it starts with 3D. Yeah, and secondly, you don't immediately realize that, hey, this is that Judge Dredd remake. Which really kind of should.
There was a Judge Dredd remake?
It's not... That's the beauty... Okay, so I watched it yesterday. It was just yesterday. So my memories are still pretty fresh. I can say that... Even looking back at it now, hours later, which is frequently not the case with a lot of action movies, it's still pretty good. It's not fantastic. I would probably give it like a 7 out of 10 or a 7.5 out of 10. But for what they could have fucked up with Judge Dredd, they didn't fuck up as much as they could. They failed to meet how bad they could do it, which is awesome.
So you're saying it's not as bad as the next RoboCop movie is going to be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
They're filming that in Toronto. I saw some stuff going on. It was really
I do have one key question for you.
Go.
Cynic. I've heard some other people talk about it, and it's like apparently there's a lot of slow motion just because like that's the drug is like slow-mo
yeah.
and all that, right?
Uh-huh.
Like they're laughing, so this is already set up for good. But I hear that like they don't overdo the slow motion. Okay, they've overdone it. Yes. You know, what they do, they make it look good.
Oh fuck! I think there's like 5 minutes of slow mo in that movie.
Like, well, okay, five just straight minutes of slow mo, or is it like set up in three different.
There's one. Okay, it felt like it, but there was one part near the start which is at least 45 seconds long. And then you have just slow motion footage. You're not used to seeing slow mo go that long.
And they're just looping that one song, like one fragment of a song that's from the Bayonetta.
Yep. So there's that one, and then there's another one. I can't say what these parts are linked to, so I'm just gonna tally them. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6. Or 7 slow-mo sequences, of which at least 2 of them are over 45 seconds long. And the other 3 are going to be like at least 30 seconds each, I think. Or 25 seconds each, something like that. There's a lot of slow-mo in that movie. Like, far more than any... Like, Matrix has nothing on the amount of slow-mo moved. Like, this has multiples of what was in the Matrix. There's more. There's, like, little bits of slow-mo every now and then as well. And that's, and a lot of those don't even have anything to do with the drug.
Oh, what about that fucking movie with Zach Braff or whatever his stupid name is, and Angelina Jolie? Like, Wanted, where they curve bullets.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think if that had as... No, that didn't have as much slow-mo as Dread.
Don't forget, that had Morgan Freeman in it as well.
Yeah, dude. I can't do it. But no, it was... The best thing about Dread was that it didn't... They did not do a remake of the original Judge Dread.
They did a reimagining.
Okay, so it's just a not concept.
This is a vignette with Dread in it.
Now, what? Something else that
those are way too big of words for a Judge Dredd movie.
this is a sequence of too many syllables. This was there's a building with Judge Dredd in it. And Judge Dredd in it.
It's Judge Dredd. Asia.
You heard it here first on the Leaking Cast,
right?
A posed North Korean imitating Sylvester Stallone. Performing the role of Judge Dredd.
Okay, yes. Okay. So was that all? Is that all happened?
It was
the 2 weeks you left us.
For those out there, I recommend Judge Dredd. I do not recommend. I recommend Paranormal 4 just to see how.
Would
to
you
not
recommend
do a
RoboCop?
Do you recommend Judge Dredd or do you recommend 3D Dredd?
Oh fuck yeah, 3D Dredd. 3D Dredd was
completely
good.
Different movie.
Jesus fucking.
Yeah, man. Like stuff comes at you from the screen, and you're like, "Oh shit, it's from the screen."
And at least in two of the slow motion parts, the stuff that's slow motion comes out of the screen for the entire duration of the It's fantastic.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'm not fucking with you.
This bullet coming at you at like 1 centimeter per hour in slow motion.
It's really great.
Okay.
Oh, no, there's another slow movie. There's so much slow-mo in that movie. Right. Fuck. Okay. Yeah, it's great. Anyway,
Speaking of slow motion, what are you doing? You said two movies.
Yeah, I've watched two movies. I've explained them, and all the stuff I've done. Before that, it was just stuff I had to do between sessions
this
of
guy's
work.
A jerk.
Because I was working like at least 11 to 12 hour days for like 2 weeks. So I watched all the Halo 24 hour Drew and Thing stream.
Oh yeah,
spread over like 5 days. That was awesome. I've never played Halo, and I kind of want to play
this?
Halo 4 now. So Drew and Alexis on GiantBomb.com.
Oh, Drew and Alexis.
Website about video games.
Which those should now be up for,
they just went up.
Yeah,
so,
it's an archive.
Did they go up finally?
They sat down for 24 hours straight, I think it was last Saturday or something, Friday your time, and played Halos 1, 2, and 3 within 24 hours back-to-back for the kids. It was like a charity event for Extra Life.
Which it was close. They got down to the hour.
Last hour. Yeah. If it wasn't for Pasquale, they would not have made it like, at all.
Who? Didn't he like? He stayed up an extra 3 hours after his charity.
He had the
time
best line of the night. He had the best line of the night. He was like, because he did his own 24 hour cast, but because it's
UK
time.
Yeah, he had the best
time,
ending.
And because he did in UK time, he finished like a good like 3/4 way through the Drew and Alexis cast. So he joins them. He's like, "Oh, I'll just join for like one mission for Halo 3, just to help you guys out." And like two missions later, he's like, "Hey guys, I'm done, but I can't really go to sleep now because I've been playing video games for 27 hours. I'm gonna finish this fight." And I was like, "Yeah." Well,
something else you guys should know: if you didn't watch it, first off, you definitely would watch it. But Drew and Alexis are not that good at Halo.
I thought they were okay until Pasquale got on, and he just fucking rampaged.
He was rocking it.
Oh my god! Like he was tripling their score in some of the missions. But they didn't look like they were doing too bad, except for some
on their own. But they just weren't making great time.
Yeah, they weren't making great time. And they're making.
I think they made the mistake of playing through the whole thing on Heroic, right?
Like Heroic and Legendary. They didn't go lower than that, I think.
I don't think they ever touched Legendary. I think they just did
they did not want to do Legendary.
Yeah, okay. They just did Heroic for the whole thing. Which is how you're supposed to play it, apparently. But it wasn't the game that they were sucking at. It was them walking around a series of corridors and then turning around because they respawned. And walking the other direction for a good 3 minutes.
I think that actually does
because
they
get confused about where they are. Like they have neither of them have a sense of direction. Apparently,
that's a bad thing.
I can't imagine why you'd have a bad sense of direction that far into a 24-hour marathon. Yeah.
Dude, Pasquale was doing fine. Okay. Anyway.
So Cynic watched two movies. He played Halo.
I watched Halo. I actually played some video games.
You played video games. Oh,
I played 14 hours spread over a couple of days of Persona 4.
You were talking about getting... Oh.
Yep, I played Persona 4 for those who don't know, I love Persona 4 and I finished it twice. So I went back to my end game save of my second playthrough and made some perfects. Just because I found out something about Persona 4 Golden on the Vita. So perfects in Persona 4 are theorized combinations of skills on very good personas, which require
you. What does that mean?
It requires you to roll by random chance skills onto one of your dudes and you have to keep rolling until you get the exact combination of skills to make him a perfect.
That is such vivid imagery. I just can imagine what's going on and what you're describing
it. So it's literally me pressing circle up X. No, circle up X.
No, no, it's okay.
It sounds a lot like breeding in Pokemon.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Hot coffee Pokemon.
But to do that, you have to
get like the perfect EVs and the perfect.
Yeah, so to do that, you have to get the right ingredient personas, and to do that, you have to like fuse those themselves, and you have to train them up. So, for example, to make one perfect, I spent about 8 hours to get one, and then the other perfect around 6 hours, and then I just put down Persona 4, and I'll never play it on PS2 again because the reason I did that was Persona 4. Vita edition, so Persona 4 Golden, you can just choose what skills you inherit. So there's no rolling and there's none of that bullshit. And they just took out
the
system. It is going to be so awesome that I bought a Vita. I finally bought a Vita. It's sitting next to
for
me now.
Have you bought Sound Shapes yet?
No, I have not bought Sound Shapes. I haven't bought anything.
I haven't played it yet, but I'm told everybody should pretty much buy it if you have a Vita.
I'm pretty much just playing my PSP games on it. It's
that's all cool. I was playing Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty. I like it.
You know, portable Chrono Trigger is pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Though the unfortunate part about the Chrono Trigger port is that it is the PS1 port, and so because of it, it has the disc load times as opposed to the SNES load times.
Uh-huh.
So when you go to pull up your menu, it takes up quite a bit longer than it did on the SNES.
Dude, the SNES was instant. It's crazy when I look back at that endurance run.
The weird part about it is that like this port actually still carries that over.
It's pretty funny. In my opinion.
From the PS1 era, even though it's not on a disc.
I have not tried a PS1 game on it yet. So do the analog sticks map properly if you play a PS1 game?
I don't know because Chrono Trigger was not inherently an SNES game or a PS1 game.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII, though, I believe they do.
Okay. Because
use the one.
The coolest part I think about the Vita is... If when you load like a PSP game or a PS1 game, if you press and hold on the screen, because a surprising amount of that
I didn't learn that until like a few days ago.
You press and hold on the screen, and it gives you options for its emulation. The first one is like video filters, and you can make it look pretty or whatever. You can make the colors look more vibrant. Important ones is there's a control remapping option, which allows you to map your right stick to things in a PSP game. So, for example, I have Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, which I'm going to start soon after I finish Assassin's Creed, which I'll talk about in a second. And it allows me to play Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker on the PSP version with two sticks, as opposed to having to use the face buttons and the left stick to move the camera and shit. So
that's pretty nice.
Awesome. So I was astounded that PS1 games, if you press and hold, you can set what you want the back touch screen to do. So I have it such that the top left hand right hand corners are L2 and R2, and L3 and R3 the bottom left hand and right hand the bottom left hand right hand corners. That's really cool.
What?
It's really cool.
I bought a Vita the week it launched. I did not know about the touching the screen thing until last week. I didn't know that the options were different between PS1 games and
they're entirely different.
PSP games.
It's kind of crazy. And you can set make shortcuts for what you want the front screen to do. You can make the top left-hand, right-hand, bottom left-hand, right-hand corners.
Oh, that is
front
nuts.
Screen do stuff as well. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I love the PS Vita.
Is that what you've been doing this week?
So finally,
at this point, it's welcome. You're listening to What's in It This Week podcast. I'm your host Nubarama, and
I played Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Speaking of Assassin's Creed Revelations, why don't we Assassin's right. Creed? What it's Durin's right. been doing this week?
Hey Durin, what's up?
is Revelations as bad as people are saying it is?
Revelations. Did you pick it up on the Steam sale?
No. I bought it when it came out on. Oh, PS3.
The fuck?
Yeah.
How long was that?
That's ago? Like last year or something? Yeah. Jesus. But it is...
That's how long we've been listening.
It is more of Brotherhood, I would say.
Really? I thought it was like a step down from Brotherhood.
It just didn't do anything new. That's the problem.
Okay.
The good thing is I didn't play Brotherhood since... I haven't played it since the start of the year. So it's pretty good. I like it, and there are a couple of revelations.
See, I'll be going back to back. So basically, right. I should just fucking speed run Revelations then.
Absolutely. The only thing that I would say to do would be in Brotherhood, have you played Brotherhood?
I'm in the middle of it right now. Yeah.
Okay, so in Brotherhood, you have those things where if you put an eagle vision near a specific building, Subject 13 has put in like a symbol.
Oh my god! Spoilers. Yeah.
And that gives you that unveils like a thing that you can watch later. In this, it's not quite like that. He's left, or I don't know if it's Subject 13, but there's animus fragments which are like flags and two, but there's far less of them. Well, there's 100 of them in the whole game, but you only need 30 as opposed to needing a lot.
Okay,
of them
before you go through the whole explanation, is it something I really need to do or something I should just watch a YouTube
so
video of?
So when you get 30, you unlock.
You didn't answer his question.
Five.
He's setting it up.
Five, like, mini game sets, which doing those reveals Desmond's backstory. And the actual mini games themselves are pretty cool. Like, you know how Patrick recently reviewed. Unfinished Swan.
Unfinished Swan, yeah.
And he said the cool section was how he was able to make those 3D shapes in space around him. It's kind of like that. The mini games are kind of like that. It's kind of cool. Like, they're pretty difficult as well. Like some of them are pretty difficult, but you get the interesting info about Desmond and to play a pretty cool mini game along the way. So I'd recommend doing that.
That's interesting that that's even included because from the sounds of things, like there's almost no Desmond in that game.
Yeah, apparently a lot of people just didn't do that stuff because there's a good 3 hours. No, probably like 2 hours of Desmond gameplay right there. We just find out all about Desmond. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah, I'll definitely have to do that then.
And that's pretty much all I've done. What have you been doing?
Of all about Desmond, all about Durin. Yeah, you like that segue? No one likes that segue. Fuck me. Okay, Durin, what have you been doing? What have you been doing this week? Make it shorter than Cynic.
I will try to make it shorter, but there are so many other things that I've been doing, so I'll just shorten all of them.
Have you played XCOM?
Talk faster.
I did not play any XCOM this week, unfortunately.
Good, because I don't like XCOM.
Get some in tomorrow.
I played some of it, and I don't like it.
What?
Cynic doesn't like good games, let's be honest. I think we've said it on this podcast.
Not as good
Cynic's not a fan of Ray plays. He doesn't like any of the games I play, and he doesn't like any of the games Durin plays.
Maybe.
Okay, we'll have to say that for a different conversation, I guess.
XCOM is not as good as Valkyria Chronicles. That's all I wanted to say.
XCOM is way better than Valkyria Chronicles.
It's not a shitty JRPG.
No way. There's nothing. Not even close.
But no, I played quite a few games. I have played... So I've learned that I should not watch Quick Looks anymore. Because I just go and buy the games. I've played some
Cook
Serve Delicious.
Oh, yeah, that's there we go. That's what's
cool. Yeah.
I actually have
I saw you play that game.
I played quite a bit of it today.
What is he playing and
looks
not
good.
Playing Guild Wars with me?
That game is good.
It looks good.
It's really good.
Looks good.
And it's only like $9. It's insane.
What exactly
and there are
do
some
you?
Fucking like high-end Cook Serve Delicious players. Like there were a couple of them in my chat like talking like high-end strategy stuff for their 4- and 5-star restaurants, and it just blew my mind.
Wow.
But I got myself up to a 1-star restaurant today.
Oh, so you streamed
that's
this?
Pretty awesome. Yeah, I have have a couple different recordings of it that I streamed. I also streamed Chivalry Medieval Warfare.
See, I have a bunch of friends playing that. I am intensely curious about that game.
Oh, really? You should play it. It is so good. It is literally like it is Battlefield set in medieval times.
My problem with it is I actually know the German longsword and how to use it. It's nothing like how you use a sword. in that game.
Well, okay, you also don't have to swing a sword at a guy three times to try to kill him. But
well,
you
know, that makes some gameplay conceits. That's actually pretty accurate. Full plate armor can fully deflect a sword.
Well, full plate, sure, but there's only one character that has full plate.
Bullet cynic?
No.
No, exactly. I don't know what that
But no,
meant,
like, but that game is actually really good. Like, the positional awareness stuff is definitely key in that game. And, you know, the parrying is important. If you got a shield, you know, knowing when to block and everything. They do have a stamina meter that kind of dictates, you know, not being able to just constantly block or constantly swing your weapons. It's actually really good. I've not touched the deathmatch stuff because, like Drew said in the quick look, the objective stuff is really where it's at. Like, that's, like, the strategy is where the game gets really interesting.
Okay.
But no, for, like, especially for $25, like, that game is really, really, yeah, really good.
Yeah, if it didn't have, like, some, like, niggling problems with it, I wouldn't have. Like, and same with XCOM, like, I just have small problems with them that kind of ruins my stuff. Yeah.
Right.
So I've also been playing a little bit of The Lion King for the Genesis.
What the fuck?
What?
So I went and picked up a Genesis last week.
Why?
And a few games for
Why
it.
Why did you pick up Genesis?
Because fucking Jeff and his goddamn TurboGrafx stuff.
You need to not do what they do.
Yeah, don't. No.
It made me realize, like, living. The Genesis... Well, I've known this for a while. Like, the Genesis is, like, the one, like, major gaming console, especially from my childhood, that I don't still own or I haven't rebought. All
right.
And so I wanted to get one really bad. It was only, like, $40 for the Genesis, and I picked up a few games and spent, like, $80 on stuff for the Genesis.
Okay.
And so I picked up...
It was a pretty good system.
Yeah. The problem is, like, the local store I bought it from, they didn't have a huge selection of games, so I basically got Sonic & Knuckles, Sonic 3, The Lion King, and X-Men. It's so, like, some kind of staples from when I was a kid and when
I've
owned
the
system.
I've never played any of those. I don't know.
I've never played...
The Disney games were so good, and the Genesis versions were the best. Like, you should... Get a hold of a copy of The Lion King on the Genesis and Aladdin on the Genesis. Those
Dude,
were the two
I've still got, like,
best ones I played.
Real games to play. I don't think I'll ever get
these games are real.
Yeah, so I played those. I played a little bit of...
You can, like, see them in 3D coming at you in slow motion. Oh,
dude.
They're so real.
I need a 3D TV.
I played a little bit of PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale Beta on both the Vita and the PS3.
Okay.
That game's not good. Don't buy that game.
I didn't expect it to be.
If you like Smash Brothers, don't buy that game because it's not Smash Brothers.
And I don't
it
like
feels
Smash
like
Brothers,
a...
so doubly don't buy that game.
Well, it feels
or
like kind of a
reverse buy it because you might like it then.
It feels like a cheap ripoff of Smash Brothers. So, like, one of the biggest staples I feel like of Smash Brothers, what makes that game so good is their system of, like, building up the percent as kind of your damage,
that.
And the higher your percent, the more it throws you off. That's how you get kills and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sudden death is like.
Well, in PlayStation All Stars.
Point.
Yeah, yeah. Sudden death is everyone's at 999% and one hit will knock you off. But in PlayStation All Stars, they don't go with that route. Instead, what they do is there is
completely obfuscatory and completely, like, almost nonsense.
Like
it's
not even that. It's not even that. It's the entire fighting system is 100% based around build your special meter, use your special to get kills.
Yeah. Looks lame.
And then on top of it, I don't see anywhere on the UI, at least in this beta, where it shows, like, who's winning. Like, I don't know who's winning until the very end.
Apparently that lowers the barrier to entry.
What?
When they focus tested, I'm assuming this part, but when they focus tested... they found out that people, when given indications that they were losing, lost interest in the game faster.
I see that more as, like,
I lost interest
in
the game because it was
battles,
bad.
When, like, one person, like, when three people have, like, one or two lives and one person has, like, six or seven, there's this sort of unspoken alliance that just
damn
manifests.
Straight there is.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope that the final game has a stock option, because I know that, like, the time base that this has, you know, Smash Brothers had that as well. Fucking nobody played it because everybody plays stock. and which is all, like, I understand why they went the timed route for the beta, you know, kind of the idea of a demo. You keep it timed to a certain extent so people aren't playing long games. You get people kind of constantly freshly getting into new games, especially since the beta is obviously, you know, online only.
Mm-hmm.
But stock is where everyone plays. They got rid of, you know, they didn't take the biggest, like, they curved so much from Smash Brothers, and they didn't take the biggest, most key function of that game that makes it work. And so what you're left with is a very, very mediocre Smash Brothers clone.
I just, I hate, okay, so I...
Sweet Tooth is pretty fucking awesome.
I said
awesome,
earlier though. That I don't like Smash Brothers. It's an okay. I like it. I loved my experiences with it. The game itself is what I have issues with, and that's because at the same era where I discovered, me and my friends discovered Smash Brothers, we also discovered Street Fighter 2. So it was a line in the sand, and we chose Street Fighter 2. But so the one element of Smash Brothers that I really liked was how competitive it can get, like just how it's crazy, yeah, desperate you can start being, yeah, especially when you like knocked
especially
off the
when
side
you get down to that
and you're
one
playing
life.
Fox, Star Fox, because he's awesome, and you're able like rocket back on. That like that clutch rocketing was such a good feeling, but you just don't have that kind of like anywhere near that kind of like tension in this, at least from what I've
seen. No, absolutely not. Yeah, I completely agree. Like the game just feels like utter chaos all the time,
which is what some people like, but I
enjoyed is there, like, you can still get those tense moments of, like, a person who is, you know, back to the wall, keeps getting back up sort of thing, or you can go to the complete chaos, mm-hmm, that, well, at least I think is better chaos, is when somebody picks up the Smash Hammer.
Oh, God, I hate that. And we always turn that shit off. Man. We always
do they
turn
have
that
moments
off.
Like that at
yeah,
least?
Yeah, I always
game?
Turn. There's no, well, there's a couple items in the game. There's a rocket launcher that is basically a one-hit kill. If it hits somebody, you can shoot it in a straight line. Mm-hmm. And then there was a thing you could throw at somebody. It was like almost like a sticky grenade kind of thing. Like it stuck on them and they blew up. And then there was like a double-bladed sword or double-bladed staff that you could use, but I never could actually hit anybody with it because everybody was too fast.
Okay.
So, nothing that just goes into jokingly mad anarchy. Like the music even changes with the Smash Hammer.
Yeah, nothing that I saw. No, it seems like the items are very limited, at least in the beta. Again, maybe this will change in the final release. But you would think they would want to show everything, you know, all the best that they had, given what they're up against. But yeah, I don't know. It's just it didn't really grab me. I'm a big fan of Smash Brothers, so I was kind of interested in this idea because, you know, more games like Smash Brothers the better because they don't make them often enough. I feel like, but this is not the game that Smash
Power
Brothers fans
Stone,
want,
wasn't it?
Power Stone.
That looks cooler. I've only seen the quick look with that, but that looked cooler to me than Smash Brothers did. I liked some of the things they did there. Anyway, there's definitely room for stuff that cribs off Smash Brothers. Like that, there's no Power Stone.
As long as they do it right. Yeah. But I just feel like, you know, that game didn't do it right, unfortunately. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, I'm glad I was able to at least play it in the beta and not just go out and buy it and be kind of hurt by it.
Yeah.
One last game that I played, aside from a little bit of Guild Wars 2, I also played a bit of the Primal Carnage beta.
What's that?
And
what is Primal?
Is that the new Manhunt game?
No, you're thinking of Hotline Miami.
Okay.
Primal Carnage looks pretty cool, though.
That looks good,
for me.
I almost grabbed that, and then I grabbed Chivalry instead. Primal Carnage is the... They did a quick look EX of it on Giant Bomb. It's the...
dinosaur game?
Humans versus dinosaurs? Yes.
Yeah. All right.
That game is really good. The game's so good. Like they do such a great job of balancing and making the humans actually as fun, if not even more fun than the dinosaurs. They balance a T-Rex to work.
There've been plenty of games, like surprisingly more than you would expect of humans versus dinosaurs games, right? The cool thing about
this
one,
there was that Turok game,
like Dino D-Day.
Yeah, like Dino D-Day.
Dino D-Day is wonderful.
The cool thing about this one
is
it actually looks like
a
good game as well.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
It looks like they're building it in like a team-based like fighting like proper fashion. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's very balanced between like what the humans can do, what the dinosaurs can do. Mm-hmm. It's very very team-based. I mean, there's a dinosaur what the hell is the flying one? Pterodon?
Sure. Isn't it like
someone will message us and correct us? But yeah, the probably. Flying one.
The thing that used to be called the pterodactyl,
which is wrong.
Pterodactyl. Yeah, I think it's a pterodon. Yeah.
The dinosaur formerly known as pterodactyl.
Yeah.
but like that one is, you know,
it's
special ability.
Apparently.
Pteranodon, okay. Yeah, that sounds right.
That doesn't sound right.
That one, like its special ability apparently is like a kind of a radar sweep. So like you fly up and you'll use it and it'll show all the dinosaurs.
Things.
Yeah, it'll mark all the enemies for the other dinosaurs to be able to see. Or like the T-Rex
really cool.
is special. They do a roar and that roar buffs every other dinosaur in the area.
Right.
So, like, it's very, very team-based.
What is the UI for the dinosaur like?
There's no UI for
There's not
it's
really...
Just, they keep it really open. Dinosaur's a third person, whereas the, like, humans are first person.
Okay, I thought if it was first person, that would have been...
And no, yeah.
Dinosaurs can all see each other, but only with the pterodon's help can they mark, like, there's a person
humans,
right here.
Yeah. No. And then also
like Left 4 Dead with dinosaurs.
It's sort of like Left 4 Dead, but in an arena format and not point A to point B. Yeah, it's like natural selection minus all of the RTS stuff.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like natural selection.
Well, I guess so. Yeah. But like they even go so far as
Left 4 Dead is a really good comparison to me. It is asymmetrical multiplayer game.
It's definitely like in terms of the gameplay being able to see your friends, but it's definitely a open world. It's not like a very tight space.
Yeah. And
what I'd say, the thing I love when they ask the developers how the balancing issues are, they said the balance more comes into the level design than like they have the classes nailed down. Mm-hmm. Now they're just trying to make sure that there's not one level that is more overpowered for one side.
Right. Yeah, and like there are medkit points and like ammo points for the humans to get their ammo back and get their health back. Right. But also for the dinosaurs, there are like dinosaur corpses around the level that they can go up and eat the dinosaur corpse and gain health back as well.
Right.
And what I love is that there's points like there's cages that are specifically designed so that all the dinosaurs can get in except for the T-Rex.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which is cool. Totally cool. But do you have to earn the T-Rex, or can you just pick it off the bat?
No, there can only be one T-Rex on the field at a time for every 10 players in the game. So if you actually have like a 20-plus game, you can, and I have done this, you can have two T-Rexes out at once, and that is fucking insane.
That's pretty cool. Wow. That's pretty cool. I probably still would never play a T-Rex. I'd prefer to play.
I played it a little bit. Actually, the Raptor. Yeah, the Raptor was my favorite.
Yeah,
they're very much like the Hunter from Left 4 Dead.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So you can see like striking similarities between the two.
But
games.
With adorable tiny arms.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can't wall jump.
There's similarities in that there's some of these. Well, they're essentially archetypes. Like T-Rex.
Well, like the only similarities are like there's both dinosaurs, right?
Well, the dinosaurs themselves, like the way they made it work in a shooter kind of context is that they essentially it's essentially a class-based shooter where the dinosaurs themselves are classes as opposed to
there's definitely differences between the dinosaurs and they need to work together to do stuff.
Yeah,
and the one place where it definitely differs from Left 4 Dead is that as a dinosaur, Left 4 Dead has plenty of teamwork.
Mm-hmm. I'm just yelling out teamwork because
teamwork.
As a dinosaur, unlike in Left 4 Dead, when you're playing the infected, you just kind of get randomly assigned one. Right. As a dinosaur, you actually choose which dinosaur you want to be.
Is there one dinosaur at a time you can play, or like
the only limit that I've seen? No, the only limit that I'm seeing is on T-Rexes, and you can only have one out per 10 people in the game.
The selection process is like
but
TF.
I believe for all the rest of them,
very less.
Yeah,
a lot like TF.
Yeah,
TF2. Sorry, okay. TF2.
TF2. So yeah, I think that's pretty much all I've been playing this week.
Cool.
Right.
So a lot of different games.
Okay. So Third Blatal.
No. Speaking of T-Rexes and things that start with T.
Oh, speaking of T-Rexes and Therbrex.
There we go.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
How did you know that I'm secretly a dinosaur?
He's wearing green.
He's wearing green.
Don't know that. It's an audio podcast.
Not for us.
Don't worry. I'm taking lots of screenshots for myself and the audience. Okay.
This is for your personal collection.
Personal collection, yeah. Well, not that I don't have pictures from your streams you do all the time. But
there's
amazing
scenes in Paranormal. Paranormal Activity 4 has the representations
while
of a 20-year-old dude. Like, horny 20-year-old guy.
What are you doing?
What?
It's like if I
what are
like
you doing,
the character
cynic?
In that movie is like someone I know, like multiple people I know in real life. Like, he's perfectly written.
I don't understand why, because
he records secret videos of people sometimes.
Okay.
Like Numerama. So that's exactly why he came up.
Okay, Thurbleton, what have you been up to this week?
I have been catching up on just like all the news and everything that happens, as well as the absence of a podcast last week.
Yay.
Led me to look into other, like, I finally got into the Nerdist and checking out Tested this week as well.
Ooh,
podcasts.
Wait, I wanted to do a podcast by myself.
I am a man who lives in a rock, under a rock.
Oh my god.
No, you're a man who lives in from a dumpster in a park, according to what I'm seeing from your video footage.
What? What?
You said I was outside for...
Yeah, you said yeah, in a park. A dumpster in a park, apparently.
Yeah, like in front of a dumpster in mm-hmm. a park. Can't you see that?
He's painting an elaborate word picture.
I mean, granted, yes, I do live in Portland, but
it's
not that bad.
Isn't it full of nice
What the fuck? Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. No, I've lost it again. Yeah. Fuck.
All right, so what have you been playing this week?
Well, I'm going to go through the whole list, because I really haven't been playing that much. But what I
Tested
what
Podcast,
I have done...
not the Tested Podcast.
Yeah,
And foremost, the archive of the 24-hour Tested charity stream should be up around when this podcast goes up, probably, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which you should probably check out. But on top of that...
Oh, you should absolutely check out, because I heard that there is some really interesting stuff that Adam Savage says about his wife and...
God,
what drug was it?
Sexy. No?
I don't know. I've watched it. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. This is going to be my fuel between drafting for work.
I literally fell asleep listening to the podcast last night. Like I had it open on my phone,
right,
with the headphones in my ears, and just fell asleep to it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And there's also
because
going to be an audio
soothing voice,
out, probably on Mixlr. Probably. But on top, I wanted to say that if you're getting to the Tested podcast round now, the Adam Savage podcast, the Adam Savage project, which is on, it's like 20 minutes long, but it's every week, so I think there's like 14 episodes now. Is awesome. It's probably actually better than their modern podcast, because their podcast, I think, has gone a little bit down in quality. Anyway. Yeah. As you're saying, Thorpe.
Yeah, as I was saying.
Before Cynic interrupted you,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
He's refusing to apologize. Jesus.
I'm not going to apologize
Grow
to
up.
You.
Apologize to the man.
Sorry, Thorpe. It's
It's okay. I love you. Love.
I hate New Brahma, though.
Wow.
Guys, what is this?
No, I've been I saw Looper, which that is my briefest of movie,
how do you like
movie
it?
Reviews is I really enjoyed the movie,
mm-hmm,
and loved it,
mm-hmm,
until it was done.
What do you mean? What does that even mean?
It's I think this just might be
you don't
an
like
issue
the ending.
With... No, the ending was great.
Okay.
The ending was amazing. It was my favorite part.
Okay.
It was just like it was beautifully done, and it's just but it's I think it's just because of the issue of time travel.
Oh, okay. When you thought back about the movie, it fell apart.
When I tried like comprehending the movie,
right,
it just my brain just kept like, but that wouldn't and just little things about the movie.
So that movie had probably the best explanation of time travel in a movie I've ever heard, which is the two main characters are sitting at a table.
Wait, are you saying it's better than Back to the Future?
Yes, the two people are sitting at a table across from another, and the guy from the future is talking to the guy from the past, and the guy from the past goes, so wait, time travel? And the guy, essentially, and the guy from the future goes,
yeah,
don't ask me, it's
just all forget
all
that. Yeah.
you just don't understand. No one understands. And then that's pretty much it. That's the explanation of time travel movie, which
wow,
I love.
I don't know. I still
good.
Think the flux capacitor is a better explanation of time travel. Yeah.
I just like,
I agree.
Because they realize that they're obviously holes created by time travel in any plot you make.
Yeah.
And they kind of address it, which is
they're basically just like, just don't think about it too hard.
The part I didn't like about the
movie
is the
kid's face. Because if you do, this whole movie
will
unravel.
The kid's face when he gets angry pissed me off. Which isn't entirely... Oh, we're getting Wild Revan?
Okay, so, yes, so what happened was we called up Revan, and apparently I can't think of a story. So, hi, Revan!
Hey guys.
All right, Revan.
Hi. So,
hello.
So, Revan, yes. are you recording right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. I'll just write down the time
syncing
when you join the
Yeah, I was going to say syncing this is going to be fun.
Yep.
All
right.
Yeah. Okay. So, Thurbleton, continue about your wild sex party or whatever you were talking about beforehand.
Oh man, I missed
I know
that.
those are easy to
amazing.
It's cool. Worse. He streamed it.
You've
You'll
missed
find out later why.
Talking about pretty much everything at the moment, like current in the world,
yes,
except for Ghost 2.
Nice.
For the last hour, yep, or something like that.
Durin, you're going to throw something through the
yeah,
internet.
Yeah, people listening to this podcast, we fucking hate you. Yeah, fuck you.
Exactly. What you going to do about it?
I'm throwing something through the internet? Why?
Come fight
Come
me.
Come at us, bro. Yep. I told myself that as soon as I woke up, I'd start like get like all the way through Dishonored today. And then I got on, figured I'd check what our set like ranking is in World vs. World. and then 7 hours later took a break.
Oh, dude, I can't say anything. I played The Lion King instead of Dishonored. I mean, I got nothing, man.
Wait, what the fuck do you do in the Lion King Genesis game? What is that?
It goes through the story of the Lion King. So, like, where I am in the game right now
are you playing Simba?
Oh, my God. Okay, so the first level of the game is just like you play as young Simba, and you're just kind of getting through the level, and you have to like fight a hyena at the end of it.
Is it a platformer?
The second level, yeah, it's a platformer.
Okay,
The second level is. Like, basically, you're playing through the I Just Can't Wait to Be King song.
Okay,
so you're, like, jumping off of hippos and
giraffes and stuff. Oh, so it's like those beat songs. It's like Dance Dance Revolution where you gotta jump.
No. Yeah. I just mean, like, you're playing through the visual sequence of that.
Durin has to go on all fours in front of the Xbox Kinect.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Better with Kinect.
Lion what you're King describing to me sounds like those optional side missions in Kingdom Hearts 2, where you had to play through all the musical sections of The Little Mermaid.
The worst one of the entire game, I think, was there's a sequence where it's after it's a stampede sequence from the movie. And the problem with it is
God, those nightmares are coming back.
Yeah. You remember you're running towards the camera. The wildebeests are coming from the back towards you,
man.
And they try to do fucking perspective this is like with 2D sprites.
Bad flashbacks to my childhood. That movie scarred the
fuck that level.
God damn.
I'm just trying to figure out how you would do perspective on a Genesis.
Yeah, you don't.
You don't.
Because it doesn't fucking work.
I'm just imagining like the goddamn level that just expands in size. Oh, okay.
So where I'm at in the game, actually, my Genesis has been running for days because I won't turn it off since, you know, there's no saves back then. Where I am in the game is I am Adult Simba now, and I have returned to Pride Rock.
Oh, wow.
Hakuna Matata.
To take back
I got past
the
there was actually there was a level called Hakuna Matata. And I got
past farther than I thought you were going to be. Dude, I thought you were going to be at the point where you meet, what's the female lion's name?
Oh,
Nala?
Oh, they skip past all that shit. That's not even a
what?
That's not even a level.
What?
There's no. Shit. It's fucking weird. You literally go from like young Simba when he's like after the stampede and he's running through, like to escape or whatever. I think it's called Simba's Exile.
Okay.
At the end of that level, you like jump down into the thorns, mm-hmm. and then the two
yeah,
like, hyenas
the
come
hyenas
up on there.
Chasing, yeah.
Yeah, like hyenas come up on there and say, you know, ever come back again, we'll kill you. Literally, like 2 seconds later, like fades to black, fades back up. You're adult Simba.
Oh, late.
Does it even just say like back. X amount of years later? Just fades.
Fuck nothing. Just fades to black, fades back up. You're
you
adult
know this
Simba,
shit. It's a fucking movie. Whatever. Come
Hakuna
on.
Matata level.
You jump around the jungle with Simba and Pumbaa.
Oh, no, sorry. I take that back.
Timon and Pumbaa.
No, I take that back. You do the Hakuna Matata level as young Simba,
right.
And then after that, that's when you then are suddenly. Adult Simba going through the sequence, like getting up to
I mean,
the
fuck,
baboon
let's be
guy.
Honest.
Wait,
we don't know how fast.
Wasn't there a young adult
lion
Simba, like
mature.
A teenager Simba equivalent?
Yes.
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 No, not there wasn't. No, I mean there was during the Hakuna Matata sequence.
I mean in the movie,
but it was literally like a couple
isn't
of frames.
Like
in the movie,
there's like one frame of him.
Yeah,
and then
it was during that song when they're walking across the log.
Yes. And then if I'm not mistaken, they might have made a movie out of that section of where he was a teenager.
Oh, maybe.
Isn't that the
I think that was maybe. Was that Lion King 2.5 or 1.5 or whatever?
No, maybe.
It might be 1.5.
God, we are going way too fucking deep into the Lion King.
Yeah, your fault.
Fucking are.
Okay. This is what have I done? I should have played more games.
You should play more games.
No, I shouldn't have bought a Genesis,
so
is what it comes down to.
Do you just not like Dishonored? Or is this
Well no, I really like Dishonored and it's I definitely want to get done. Like I played a little bit of it. Last week, but it's just like
this is just
in,
a really bad time to be trying to like entrench yourself in a game.
Yeah,
yeah,
a game.
And it's just like I spent a lot of time. I do want to give props to Korkesh because last weekend I was while Drew and Alexis were doing their 24-hour thing for.
Oh
Extra
right,
Life,
yeah.
I was with Korkesh, aka Macca Cork. Reading that right. Yeah, Macca Cork. As he did a 24-hour...
Guild Wars
2. He went from level 1 to level 36, I think.
Guild Wars 2.
In 24 hours straight.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's...
Yes. Wow.
Dude, again, I need to point this out.
Oh, speaking of...
I need to point this out.
Hey, I'm...
36 divided by 24. Exactly 1.5.
Damn it.
They fucking nailed it. They've nailed it.
Wow.
Every time I've also won, 1.5 hours a level. It totally did it. There you go.
I just want to say... Last week, also, what Thurbleton decided to do was something really cool. It's like basically we. Wait, was this you? I don't remember. Fuck. I don't. They don't pay me to remember.
Anything
shit.
You say, I begin right. not to trust.
So basically, it was like we got all of like the lobbies, so like level threes,
yeah, that was
and
him.
Fives, and then we had a bunch of level 80s escorting yeah. them from this Asura starting zone to what was it, Black Citadel or no Holbrook?
We went to Holbrook, yeah, and we did like one round of that beer smashing game.
How'd you like that? I've never, have not played it.
It was fun.
Yeah, I still haven't either.
Some people decided to pussy out and not go to the level 70 zones, and right there. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, yeah. Leader of this podcast.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Leader. But no, it's
no,
yeah,
it's dear leader. Dear, get it right. Say
yeah,
it.
I'm sorry.
Dear
dearest
leader?
Of leaders.
Dear.
I bet you'd be shot for claiming to be a dear leader if you're from North Korea.
No, man, I have a dear leader license that I bought on the internet for $50, so fuck you.
He is the Lucha Dear Leader. Lucha Dear Leader.
You're saying he's abbreviating it.
Play on words. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Basically it's with World vs. World, we like to do things like, you know, the Wub of Wednesdays and then like a Friday and Saturday. We had a lot of fun on like last Friday. Last Saturday, there was like nothing to take.
No.
We had taken the whole map.
That's pretty cool.
And so we were like, well, we're going with plan B. We're going to get like some level ones, and Corkish was with us as well, and he's like level 5, and he'd already done some things, and we're like, all right, we're just going to run across the world and do giant bomb escort mission. Go for it.
That's pretty cool.
Like a big dynamic
yeah,
event.
That sounds
kind of
like the stuff that we were doing
maps.
During the beta.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like if we like, you know, have an event plan that just doesn't pan out, we'll just like, you know, that'll be the backup.
I also wrote on a piece of paper how many times all of us died. I think it went up to like 34 people died out of 15 people that went. And another like 105 were downed.
I will say part of that was because we were stubborn and decided to kill the giant in the charge.
Oh, yeah.
Town
of
Magdalene.
There was like this, yeah.
So many deaths.
Right. It was a sad day.
Is that fight still a little bit unbalanced for melee?
Pardon? Yeah. Well, no. I was in melee for a lot of the time. It's just you have to know when to dodge.
Yeah. Well, no, because for when I did it, he would do 3 stomps. So you couldn't. You'd always get hit by 1. Yeah,
I think they scaled it back. Yeah, of course, I was doing dodge block.
Oh, so that's fancy. Wait, what are you playing?
To make sure you have a mesmer.
Ah, okay, of course.
We have 2 blocks.
Ooh, that's fancy. That's pretty cool.
Man. It's the only time I use a scepter when I have to tank.
Such a bad weapon.
No.
Sword off hand.
Yes. Well, no. I have no problem with the sword. It's the scepter. I just can't get my clones out fast enough to burst well. But anyway, moving on to games I play. There is one other game I've been playing.
Moving away from Guild Wars for a second here.
Yeah, moving away from Guild Wars so we can transition.
That's crazy. We just went to
too much Guild Wars.
What
talk.
Are we doing? Uh-huh. Oh my! I'm sorry. I failed you all.
Yep.
What are we doing? We're a tenant in your brain case. We're the rinse dude.
Jesus, we're an hour and 15 in. No, an hour in.
Yeah.
I've been playing a game that I guess I've contractually obliged not to talk about, but I will say on a completely unrelated note. Talking is a lot of fun, or at least will be. I haven't played it yet. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. How's your mother?
Yep.
I think I can hear
wait, the lawyers. But if you haven't played it, how do you know it's
through
good?
The NDA.
I've just seen gameplay footage.
Oh,
and
it looks
and
really fun.
And that game looks the
on,
game looks so real. It's like you're playing
floor.
Hey.
Based off that, yeah.
Sure.
Right there, like the game just looks so real. It's like you're playing it.
Yeah, it's like I'm there now. This is not a dumpster site in Portland. This is
Thurbleton actually lives in Hawken.
Yep.
Yes.
He lives in the code.
The Hawken virus has struck.
Future Tokyo?
Nation.
Wait, no, where is it? It looked like Tokyo.
Oh, I've been to Tokyo last week.
It's just in like the ruins of some place, right. And it's the Hawken relates to the Hawken virus, apparently, according to the lore on the wiki.
Okay.
I haven't played it yet.
Okay. So,
New Barama. What are you doing this week?
Thurbleton hasn't. What? No. 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 Stop. Stop wristing the control of this podcast. Hand, okay?
No, you need the last
man.
Guy who hasn't. Who's
Revan.
To
Revan,
ask you what you've been doing. Otherwise, you never get
but,
to hear
but
what
Revan's
else
here.
Doing.
Okay, Revan.
He wants to
hear
Revan.
Revan is allowed
because
he came in halfway right. through.
Revan's right. So what I did this week on. Was actually pretty cool. It's
walk
like
on.
I've never gotten to do this before. Let me just come up with a story. One second.
Fucking hell.
Cut this part out.
We just come up with a totally true story.
I'm trying to think of a story. Cut this part out. Okay?
Oh, no. Oh, I did actually. No, while you're thinking of a story, Noob, I did play a Wii U.
Oh.
So I don't know if anyone knows this, but Best Buys around the areas have been installing Wii U units.
Fuck. Isn't that coming out
really
soon?
Check your local Best Buy. Yeah, like next in month? A month.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like
really soon.
For a second,
About 3 weeks. About 3 weeks. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fine, so I played one a couple days ago, actually.
My local Best Buy installed one. For a retail person, Christmas is coming soon.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
Yay!
And
well,
my impression
Black Friday coming soon. Ago.
My impression coming away from it was, eh.
He asked, "When's Christmas coming? Or why is Christmas coming soon?"
Oh,
I didn't want to interrupt you.
It's coming soon.
Well, sir, you know the rules of this podcast. Apologize to Durin.
But no, anyway. I played the Wii U, and I just kind of... It's a video game console.
What did you play on the Wii U?
The only thing that was playable was Rayman Legends.
That looked like a... If I didn't hate Rayman, that would look like a good game.
That's the thing. That looked like a solid game. It played like a solid game. Mm-hmm. It was in proper, HD graphics. I did play a little bit with the touchscreen thing.
If you ask why I don't like Rayman, he looks dumb. I just don't like his character design.
I don't want to play Rayman, but, like, I can respect it as a game because they kept the series going so long and still kept it quality.
Yeah.
I wasn't even looking at like the Rayman parts of it. I was looking at it as a Wii U game because that's what I was there to see.
Okay.
You know? And in that respect, it played like a video game.
I have a question.
Proper HD.
Was the controller wired when you played it?
The controller is attached to the kiosk. Yes, I mean they always do that.
No,
it's wireless, but it's handcuffed to a Best Buy.
Yeah, like there's like there was this curly, really, really like tense wire attached to it that was kind of.
But the actual controller itself didn't use that really thick connection wire, did it, to the Wii U console?
Yes, it did.
I knew it. Because I swear their wireless technology is nowhere near where they fucking say it is. Because every time they've sewn it, it's had a huge honking wire between the controller.
Well, this was a different wire, though. This was a different wire. So maybe it's not actually connected like that. Maybe, like, it was a white wire. I didn't really pay attention to where it was connected.
Maybe it was connected to keep a charge.
It might have been. I'll have to go back and look at it again.
I'm doing inverted comments right now to keep it charged.
I'll post you guys up on that.
Yeah, like, what I will say, though, is, like, I did do a little bit of the touchscreen stuff on it with the little flying dude or whatever, and like that stuff works. It's kind of neat that it was like literally as it was doing it on the little touchscreen, it was happening on the TV.
Okay,
but it didn't really have that wow factor that the Wii had when I first played it.
Yeah, but I don't
like I didn't walk away from it being like I need to fucking have
this. Good
thing
about it not having the
Wii had
the
wow factor because like
the Wii is that it means that this isn't a gimmick. It's something that you look at it and it works as you would expect it to work, and therefore there's no wow. And that's probably a good thing in the long run, to be honest.
It would be a good thing if that was how every game on that console was played forever.
Right.
Unfortunately, the majority of games are going to be played with a Wii controller of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the system falls flat.
I don't know. Maybe the first run, like the launch window, inverted commas games. But
no game will support more than two of those controllers.
Right.
Because that console doesn't support more than two. So
but
you can never have.
I play most of my video games alone. I hate to say it, guys.
No, I'm the same way. But I'm just saying that, like, I don't know. I worry for that console when they are still sticking so strongly to the Wii. The problem with it is it wouldn't be an issue with them being able to support the Wii controllers on the console as a secondary control method.
Mm-hmm.
If the console was packed in with the Wii U gamepad and a pro controller, because that would tell developers and consumers that the standard two analog controller layout is the preferred method. It's the standard for the system. By including a Wii controller in there, I believe there's a Wii controller.
No,
in there.
There is a Wii,
yeah.
But they expect you to have one, which I've won.
I believe. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. But by not including a pro controller, they are not emphasizing the standard dual analog control scheme. And in order to have a dual analog controller, aside from the gamepad, you would have to go out and purchase one. but their games that are, at least on this first run, are all, you know, Wii controller for the most part, Wii controller controlled. In fact, that seems to be the preferred method for Pikmin 3. Like, that has me worried because...
That's fucked. Wait, you serious? Pikmin 3 is Wii controller focused?
It can be played both ways, okay. But apparently the preferred method is with the Wii controller.
Okay,
Wii,
so like the statement that that Metric makes sense because it was originally developed as a Wii game, but nah, dude. I don't want to use that thing ever again, really. Like, to be honest. Yeah. Got something new now. Let's use that, please.
Especially because, like, the kind of one-to-one kind of feel of the aiming and stuff could easily be done with the touchscreen.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And on top of that...
And there are accelerometers and stuff in the controller. So yeah. Even, you know, up, down, left, right, you know, forward, backward motion is all easily done with that controller. There's no need for the Wii U controller. You can emulate an aiming with that controller without having to actually have, you know, the sensor bar and the IR stuff going on. It worries that, like I said,
Polygon, I think it was reported recently that Nintendo's taking a hit on the Wii. Wii U.
They haven't said what the hit is, but they are taking a hit on the console.
Didn't they announce that at their their New York thing or Japan?
Oh, maybe,
they
had an event
sometime this week and they announced that.
Yeah,
it's like the first time on any of their consoles
ever
taken a hit at launch.
3DS. Well,
the first time at launch, yeah, the 3DS didn't take a hit at launch, but when they did the price cut, then they were taking a hit.
That's crazy to me.
That has me concerned.
Yeah,
for Nintendo, if their entire strategy has been built on we make money from day one off of these consoles.
Yeah,
if they're not doing that on this.
I'm a bit worried for Nintendo with this console because it doesn't have that wow factor. You know, the games that are coming out for it, like when they ran that story not too long ago about Assassin's Creed 3 on the Wii U and how they said it as if it was a plus that this game will play exactly like the other consoles. and you look at that and you're like, this is supposed to be a next gen console. That shouldn't be a plus. That should be like we understand this is a launch game. So it's going to be like the other consoles, but you know, that's because it's a launch game. You know, our next games will be much better. It shouldn't be like, hey, don't worry, guys, this thing won't be, you know, this won't have half the features. It'll have all the features the other consoles do. It's like...
Going on your previous point, though, I mean, I would expect that if you're going to play Assassin's Creed 3 on the Wii U, you're going to need the standard controller, which it doesn't come with standard. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll need the gamepad, which it does come with.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I mean, that's where most of that money, gamepad, that's where most of that cost goes. But...
Yes.
At that point, hey, it plays like it does on the 360 and PS3, and you're controlling it similarly like how you did on the 360 and PS3. So, hey, do you want to pay, what was it, $349 or so for the
good? Well, when they were saying that, they were mostly saying like they weren't cutting any features out of it because it was a launch game. Like, you know how like Madden, when it launches with a system, they tend to put the bare-bones stuff in there just to be able to get it out at launch. That was basically Ubisoft coming out and saying like, hey, you know, this will have everything. It'll have multiplayer. It'll have... You know, in any modes that are in the other consoles, it'll be just like those. You know, resolutions will be the same, all that stuff.
I can't wait to see what they take out of Madden to get it on the Wii U.
But hey, you'll be able to just like, do your plays on the thing, and that definitely makes up for everything you've taken out of the game.
Where I think Nintendo may, and I don't want to dwell on this too long because we have been going on for quite a while and not counting the giveaways.
No, it's fine. It's good. It's okay.
But where I think Nintendo may still have a chance with this, assuming it takes off, and it, you know, pre-orders are all sold out. It seems like it's going to do well this Christmas at least. But I think a lot of people who are already kind of coming out and saying, you know, Nintendo's doomed. This is, you know, this console's doomed. All this other stuff, basically because they're saying like, oh, well, this console only plays games, you know, the same as the current generation, so it's going to be the Wii all over again. It's like, no, that's not actually true. The fact that they're able to make these games look just as good, if not slightly better in some instances, than the 360 and PS3, like, this console is more powerful than those. And I think a lot of people are expecting the next Xbox and the next PlayStation to be much more powerful than they're actually going to be. Like, Sony has, and I've said this numerous times, Sony has been on record as saying, like, they are not going to be cutting edge on their console.
I think that is less
important. Well, they don't have the money to do that.
It's less important than the fact that the Unreal Engine 4 is made to run on those. And we've seen what Unreal Engine 4 tech demos look like. That's what we're saying. It doesn't matter how fucking.
But have we seen that?
If that's what
have we heard
look like? That's fucking gonna be.
Have we heard that Unreal Engine 4 won't work on the Wii U?
I don't know, but I'm almost certain.
Because I do know that the I believe it's the CPU is purposely underclocked.
Right. Is that a...
And that's something that could easily be altered later on with a software update similar to what they did with the 3DS.
I guess, but that's the CPU.
Well, the reason why I say that's important is because it's not so much that, like, you know, it's not so much like the consoles are, you know, not going to be as powerful, and that, like, where it's important is this won't be like the Wii to the PS3 and 360. This thing won't be leaps and bounds behind, both in terms of control and graphics. Like, they can easily get ports to this console the same as there will be with the other current generations. Like, you're not going to see you're not going to see a Call of Duty game released on the PlayStation and the Xbox and not on the Wii U. That's not going to happen anymore.
But you didn't see a Call of Duty game released in those two and not on the Wii.
Yes, you did.
Well, you had a Wii version of it released simultaneously.
No, you didn't have a Wii version of a Call of Duty until 2 years after it launched on the other
the
consoles.
Call of Duty 4 game was the fucking weirdest thing I've ever played in my life.
Yeah. But the problem is, though, it wasn't the same game.
Yeah. Like, of course not. They made it for the Wii. It's the same with that Dead Space Wii game. Mm-hmm. Have you guys played that thing?
I haven't played it.
It's an on-the-rails shooter with two people.
It's pretty good
and
with
that's
the PlayStation
now as well.
It's really good with the PlayStation Remove.
Yeah. And that's why I think that the Wii isn't going to struggle, or the Wii U isn't going to struggle nearly as much as the Wii did, because a lot of those issues, I mean, a lot of it did come out of horsepower. Like, the system just clearly wasn't as capable as the others. The games could not be made in a lot of cases on the Wii like they could on the others. But also, and even more importantly, was the control issue.
Yeah.
People who released multi-platform games and wanted to make one for the Wii, they would have to make a whole other team just for the Wii version.
Just to figure out how to work.
And that won't have to happen this time around.
It's true.
And I think that, and there are some developers already coming out and talking about how easy it is for them to develop for the Wii U. And that's incredibly important for Nintendo.
I guess. I can't see myself purchasing a Wii U. Like, for example, I didn't buy a Vita till like last week because I was waiting for Persona 4 Golden, like, in my heart to for me to realize that game's coming out and therefore be excited and therefore buy a PS Vita. It'll have to have something of that caliber that's not Bayonetta 2 to make me buy that system. And I don't think...
I'm just hurt you bought a Vita with the things you've been doing in the past.
No, he did.
Near the start. It's just that it went for so long.
That was
long
part of Persona 4 talk. You already forgot. Yeah. But no, I think...
People now are backtracking the podcast.
I think Cynics
wait,
are wrong.
What the hell? No, we're talking about Cynics Week. That's what this podcast is.
Yeah.
Junior Cynic.
But no, Cynic, I think for a lot of people, that game is going to be a 1080p Mario Galaxy. Like, that is going to be a system seller for the Wii U.
Maybe the next Zelda will do it for me. I don't know. If Zelda looks like the tech demo for the Zelda, even though it won't, because they're obviously going to go for a new art style going forward, but if that's what they deliver, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah, and now they finally have the capability to do that, and that's really, really interesting. Like, that's probably the biggest thing for me and why I'm kind of interested in the system. I'm not buying the Wii U expecting it to be, you know, my Xbox 360 for this generation. I'm buying the Wii U because I know I'm going to play the new Mario games, I know I'm going to play the new Zelda games, and I cannot fucking wait to play them on actual HD systems.
Anyway, I think Nubarama is kind of freaking out silently in the background for those who can't hear the podcast. Nubarama.
And I'm loving every minute.
Mr. Host Guy.
I'm the host. Oh, fuck. You're right. Okay.
Take the reins.
So see, Nubarama, us going way off topic there, that was your job to bring that back.
No. I dropped my notes.
Typing into Skype, I don't know what's going on. does not bring the podcast back.
I don't know, man.
I love not hosting. Okay. I can just do whatever the fuck I want.
Great. Okay, wait.
Riven, what have you been up to?
No. We don't have time for that. All right, Riven,
I think for the sake of the audience, let's go ahead and move on to Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
If anyone's listening right now, I guess we should tell them the magic word already, because I'm sure we've lost about
I don't know how were the numbers on the last one we actually did.
Fuck,
because half of that podcast was us talking about XCOM.
I guess, but that was an hour long podcast, wasn't it? We're at an hour and 16 true. Minutes.
I know, we literally did an hour.
Okay, so the next thing on the podcast
we did jump topics, so that was
cool. Okay. What I have written here is plugs. So
hey, that's the end.
Is it
you?
Oh shit! Right.
Failure.
I know in North Korea they do things backwards a lot, like right to left with reading, but you don't read bottom
okay,
to
okay,
top.
Okay, okay, okay. This says discussion. What do we do? No, guys,
the worst part. Okay, for anybody listening, Noob wrote this out himself. Yeah. That's the worst part.
I did. Okay, so I guess we'll move on to the news. So news this week is
are you doing your English news?
There's fucking literally nothing to read. All right, I'll read it.
Oh, there's news.
News. Okay, that's
something
what
happened.
So what's happening is, well, I guess, well, the big thing that's happening is Halloween, which you guys talked about, I know, on last podcast.
No,
but,
not,
but so we didn't have
no, we last time we talked
it
about
you,
well,
you
we brought it up, but we didn't have
it.
The information yet.
Right, you
we talked in speculation.
Yeah.
Right, so we're going to have like a short discussion later on, but so I guess stuff that's rolling out for Halloween that's going to be new is, of course, there's supposed to be like a big thing that happens tomorrow at noon Pacific.
So yesterday,
you guys have
or two
any
days ago,
speculation?
So
at,
goes up.
At the time of listening to this, the times ago, we released, right. It happened 2 days
yeah.
ago.
Okay.
Why weren't you there?
Unless you're watching
someone
on YouTube,
like, tell
which,
me what
in which case,
in the
3 days ago.
Yeah.
3 days ago.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, 3 days ago. So 3 days ago, any speculations on what happened 3 days ago?
We're just going to go through like our theories, and then we'll just chop out whichever ones weren't true.
So I'm assuming, because what I thought was, and someone else pointed this out, I believe it was Albina Joke, was there's just like this big lion statue in Lion's Arch, you know the one, right? So basically what they made it was it's all rusted and broken, and it seems like there's some sort of light emitting from the inside. I'm assuming like Mad King's going to fucking burst out of that tomorrow.
Yeah. Riven actually has a theory about that, if he wants to.
There's a whole... I spawned in the Lion's Arch one time because of all the overflows, and it didn't load properly, and I saw
a gigantic hole
underneath where the statue should be.
Oh, wow.
And it's not like, oh, this is just like an infinite darkness hole where they didn't render anything down there. They like there's a bottom to it.
Ooh, that's cool.
So I think there's probably something hidden down there.
That is cool. But are you sure it's not the... the underwater, like the
original
stuff of Lion's Arch, but just like going.
Yeah, because it didn't like just like go straight down. Mm-hmm. It like sort of it was curving, so I could tell there was a bottom, and it wasn't gonna hit the water.
I don't expect there to be like they haven't put any fighting straight up in Lion's Arch yet, but I imagine
technically because there was that glitch where the candy corn enemies and all the Halloween monsters were spawning outside Lion Arch. That was great.
Yeah. But it's more than likely it's just like we'll be able to see something as we jump down into the madness.
That's kind of cool.
Or maybe the Mad King's down there chilling, waiting to.
I don't know, but I feel like once Mad King comes, I feel like that should be a finale rather than.
Yeah.
Because it's not even Halloween yet.
Yeah.
Actually, good point about
that. That would be weird.
ArenaNet has done some research and figured out that there is a certain time in which the majority of the people are online. It's the middle of the day for North Americans.
Right.
But they said that Act 3, because there's four acts with the Halloween stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We are in Act 2 as of the time of this recording,
right.
Which
Act
we will talk about the madness that has ensued.
Well, actually,
sorry. Act.
Act
that
3
fucking clock
was
tower.
2 days ago, and Act 4
we'll get there.
Is right now.
We'll get the ribbon. we have to save the showstopper for later on. But Act 3 is supposed to happen in like...
2 days ago.
Yeah, noon Pacific.
2 days ago.
The zero GMT?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
noon Pacific Sunday.
Zero
yes.
GMT, no. That's negative.
Zero
that's
GMT
minus,
is 8 o'clock.
Minus 7
yeah,
GMT.
That's,
8 o'clock Eastern Standard.
Oh, that's 5 o'clock Pacific. God, I hate time zones. Why can't the world just be flat?
Yeah.
Why can't it be flat?
It is flat.
Wait,
no. It's just
they
want 8, you to
think
I'm
minus
it is.
6.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see us.
It'd be minus 8 GMT.
The horizon. Anyway, it's supposed to happen at noon PDT on the 28th. So, yeah, Sunday.
So 2 days ago.
So, yeah, I just think it's neat that they've, like, narrowed down and ArenaNet is trying to do these events that are pseudo, like, one time.
Well, no, they specifically to, like, you know, said this is a one-time only event. Like, day 4, the fourth one, and the third one are supposedly the only time that's going to happen, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But yeah, the things that have been happening with Act 2 are really pretty cool. They've upped the, like, with Act 1 they had all these, like, doors showing up around the world and a lot of stuff happening in Lion's Arch. They really ramped that up, and people have access to a place called the Lunatic, no, what was it called? Lunatic?
It's the Mad King's Court. The Lunatic's Labyrinth is one of the areas.
What is just one of the many things that you could have done during Halloween, Ruben?
That fucking jumping puzzle.
Right.
Which,
but
I've actually gotten substantially better at.
I want to preface, before he started this, I warned him in earnest not to do it.
Wait. Before we get,
which is funny because when I got on, that was the first time.
Before we get started on that, let's just explain what it was.
Yeah. Wait.
So with update 2,
I have some questions. So I obviously why I had to miss most of the Halloween stuff, even though I could possibly get on today and tomorrow to see the end stuff. But I don't think
having
I'll have
to
time.
Make money.
But what was crazy to me? So this is supposedly a 4-chapter thing, right? How long did the first chapter last for? How long did the second chapter last for? Because it started last
chapter. Second chapter came in yesterday.
No, it started Tuesday.
So second chapter happened on Friday, if I recall correctly.
So yeah, Tuesday for the first chapter, Friday for the second chapter.
But the actual, like, all the Halloween decorations went up, like, last week, right?
Tuesday.
No, that's Tuesday. Yeah. Really? Only that recent? Shit, it's been long. Anyway, so I got on, and there was, like, a freaking multi-hundred megs. So, like, 600 or 800 megs of downloads just for this patch. And I was like, that's crazy, because if you play Guild Wars 1, like, the Mad King stuff wasn't that spectacular. It was, like, pretty much Lion's Arch. And...
Well, not all of it is Halloween stuff.
Really? Oh, okay, yeah.
There's new jump.
A good portion of it, like,
puzzles,
you are reloading maps.
Like, that was the coolest thing. Like, because I bumped back into the PvP Isles, or what do you want to call them? The Mists.
Yeah, I love that they did that.
And it's all different. Yeah. And I was like, holy cow.
Wait, they changed the Mists?
Yeah.
I love they sent some loving to the Mists as well.
It's been Halloweenified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They haven't changed the NPCs and stuff. Like, I was expecting the NPCs to be in, like, Halloween.
No, actually they have. As of Act 2, someone like the Battle Master or whatnot.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like a guy with a pumpkin skull head.
Oh, that's awesome. I have to go back
the NPCs in WoW too.
That's cool. So yeah, it's like
Wolf is annoying. The Dolyak are ghosts, and I can't see them from afar. So it's like, I'm not like, hey, free yak. I'm like, hey, there's nothing there. Let's keep going.
Like this, it's cool. Like there's like green fog, and there's like pumpkins everywhere, and that was awesome. Like they did that stuff in Guild Wars 1, but like the commitment to it this time around, the amount of art design they're throwing at it is actually kind of crazy.
Actually, favorite thing, if you didn't get a chance to see any of the Halloween stuff, just like ask for a screenshot, but a candy cane elemental is just the
candy corn.
Idea.
That's
candy
cool.
Candy
corn.
Right, it is actually
candy great. Cane. Next holiday.
Yes. Make it so.
Well, in the original Guild Wars, they just had like those elementals were just ice with like a snowman.
Yeah.
With the snowman top hat.
That was.
And I'm like, come on.
That was cool.
That was cool in its own way. What the fuck is that? I hope they keep it that way.
Yeah.
And don't change anything.
Exactly.
Because let's be honest, that the candy cane elementals are exact same as before.
That same polygon count.
Yeah. Literally. The textures are exactly as they were in the original Guild Wars.
That's awesome.
Have you seen the family sized candy corn elemental? It's a champion.
Right, yeah. So
I fought that once.
That's crazy.
What are these and where are they?
Okay, so basically the update not only changed existing places, but they added completely new areas to the game.
Really?
So what the update did was it created the Mad King's realm.
Oh wow.
And within the Mad King's realm are four different primary areas. So there's the Mad King's Labyrinth, which is the main general area you come into. There's the Mad King's Clock Tower, which we'll talk about later. And there's two PvP kind of games.
Wait, so how do you get there?
So basically is in Queensdale and Gundaren Plains, there's
and
these
Kessick
sudden,
Hills.
And Kessick Hills.
Yeah, there's four different zones.
The human generated zone. Because this is like a human holiday.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's inclusive for everyone, so don't call them out on that.
That candy corn is everywhere.
Actually, I've been in the char territory, I thought, and was able to find one.
No, don't. That's disgusting. No.
Well, no, I will say.
I believe there was something in Plains of Ashford,
Pretty much Queensdale, though, is the best place.
It is the best place to find anything.
Because they're everywhere.
It shows up on the map, the map. It's really polished, and I'm really glad that, like, ArenaNet designed it this way in terms of, like,
to get to the stuff for the holidays, go to the starting zone.
Yeah, right. It's really cool. Like, I played a lot of other MMOs, and when they do their holiday stuff, like, it's kind of there. You'll see the decorations, but you'll inevitably have to ask somebody, like, okay, where do I go to do this holiday stuff?
Right.
And, like, I even did so when I logged into Guild Wars 2, because that's what I'm used to doing. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody told me, just go to Queensdale, I was like, okay. So I loaded into Queensdale just outside Divinity's Reach, and literally just fucking little pumpkin icons all over my map.
Right. Everywhere.
And so I was like, awesome. All right, I'll just head over to one of those then. And it's just, yeah, it's so well explained compared to how other MMOs do it.
Yeah.
So what those pumpkin icons represent are like these gates or portals that lead you into the Mad King's realm.
So the Mad King,
you start off your adventure. Right.
The craziest thing to me about this whole thing was that apparently the Mad King has not been seen in Tyria for 250 years.
250 years.
Yeah.
What?
Yes. How convenient is that?
That's stupid.
Actually 500. Because it was 250 from the first Guild Wars.
Oh, no, he died 500 years ago. Right. But he
showed up in the original.
But basically, like, he's not showed up at all since the original Guild Wars.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like,
what a convenient excuse.
That's so dumb.
Shit.
That is so dumb.
Yeah. Almost too convenient.
By what? I really hope. The reason I brought that up is because I really hope they at least somewhat explain that. I mean,
well, don't you know?
Maybe ask before they explain that.
Nothing happened in Tyria for 250 years.
It's true.
It's all true.
It's true.
Nothing happened in Tyria. Nothing.
Except Logan Thackeray was born, and that, I mean...
Okay, so, yeah, like, there's two PvP things and two PvE things, mm-hmm. and I guess we can run down the PvP things first. So, the two different PvP things they added in the zones is, there's an Inquisition game mode, which is kind of like, what would you
really
call
fun.
It? It's actually really fun. Explain it to me, there.
Very much themed like the, if anybody played in the beta, Hunger Royale, I think is what they call it.
Really?
Yeah. It's that same sort of format where it's like you have, like, you don't regenerate your health as one of these two people. You start off as a villager. It's very much like an...
I started off
sort
naked.
Of gameplay.
My character kept on starting out naked. I don't know why.
Well, you are the village...
Idiot.
Whore. Yeah. I didn't want to say... I don't want to say
what does that mean?
Whore.
My mom keeps on calling me that. I don't know what the fuck that means.
Wait, your mom keeps calling you the village idiot or the village whore?
Both.
Village whore.
Idiotic village.
Wait, so how many people are involved as a villager in this PvP thing?
There's like 20 people.
Yeah, about 20
wow.
per group,
okay,
I'd say.
Cool.
It's tricky because you only know how many people when they're near you.
Okay.
Right.
Like, it shows up, like, it updates constantly on the left side of the, like, the, as a team sort of party
right.
group. And the objective is to just survive as a villager.
Okay.
Right.
And you can do things to help you, like, have, there's some NPCs that if you give enough stuff to them, they'll spawn things to help fight the ghosts. But pretty much, it's you have to survive the longest.
So these 19 people play as villagers, and then one person becomes a ghost, right?
Yeah.
And go ahead.
The ghost has a whole different set of things to do. Like, they have they can actually fight. The villagers have to rely on, like, picking up a bone and then, like, hitting it on the guy's head. And, like, that'll crack the bone, but then he's stunned and you can run away. Or a web to immobilize.
Oh, wow. So you can't kill him.
You can,
but you have to be really good and really sly about it.
It's
a bunch
like,
of villagers teaming up.
Yeah,
or,
you have to team up with other villagers. It's like, it's teamwork.
Okay.
Yeah, teamwork.
You are not that skilled at fighting,
no.
as a
cool.
villager. As a ghost, you are really skilled
right.
at fighting.
Interesting.
You can fear guys, you can jump on top of them, or one of the coolest things that I love that they did is it goes right with the Mad King. Your skill bar, like the right side of the bar, is Mad King says X, like ponder, laugh, cower,
okay.
whatever, and you target a bad guy, like you target a villager with it as a ghost, and they get a pop-up, and only 3 out of the 5 things are there.
Oh, cool.
And you have to, like, stop, read the emote chat, and, like, Mad King says, do this, and you have to mimic
that's
it.
That's awesome.
Oh, like Simon says.
Yeah. If you do that, you can get away.
That's cool.
If you don't do that, or if you don't, reply quick enough, it's not like shit goes
that's
wrong.
What if I'm a disabled person without any fingers?
Then
you're
you shouldn't be
probably not
playing
Guild Wars 2.
How are you playing Guild Wars 2?
And I'd recommend getting, like, a Luke arm or something.
wait, so why is this called Inquisition?
Because no one suspects it?
Okay.
It's basically like...
it's Lunatic Inquisition.
It's basically, as a villager, yeah, the best way to do it is hide. You have a skill that makes you invisible
for 10 seconds.
Yeah. But it works, is what I found.
There's some good spots you can, like, hide on the edge of the map, and pretty much everyone dies.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of fun. And then the second game mode is a MOBA-like game mode where...
I haven't played that yet.
So basically,
wait. Is this like is this mobile like as in how me and Durin keep insisting that things are mobile like, or is this actually mobile like?
It's mobile like from someone who played MOBAs. Okay. So what do you remember what it was called, Thurbleton?
Rumble. It's like Rumble something.
Yeah, something Rumble.
Reaper's Rumble.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so basically, it's the team or the game is split into two teams. I forget what it's like 5-6 people for team. Was it something like that? And so each one are on each side, each team. What else? There was? I'm trying to remember. I played this today.
You know, actually, like MOBAs.
Like MOBAs. And then, so there are mobs, like MOBAs, and then this game, or the map is symmetrical, and each team has three mausoleums they need to keep. And the point is to either destroy the other team's three mausoleums or take a bunch of pumpkins from the other team's mausoleum back to yours, and that's how you rack up points.
Hmm.
Cool.
And so it's literally you get custom weapons, and then there's mobs of skeletons going on around.
Do you get custom skills, or is it just bringing in a build?
I don't know. I've only played one round of it.
Custom skills, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, you get custom skills. You don't bring your own skills. I remember
I'm
I got.
I'm pretty
like,
sure Guardians don't have an axe and a pistol.
No.
I'm pretty sure about that. Not 100%.
I would play a Guardian if he could have an axe and a pistol.
I'm imagining a Guardian just straight using an axe and a pistol one hand another hand.
I did have axe skills with my, what is it called, scythe or whatever it was that they give me. Either way, I thought it was quite fun, but it was a MOBA, so I didn't really give a shit.
Okay,
so I stopped playing that.
Yep.
Yep. One other game mode, just to make Riven squirm even more, because I know he wants to get this out, but is that they've added just permanently, this is not just for the holiday. You can do this at the time you're listening to this, is effectively it's sparring with costumes.
Yeah,
costume brawl.
Yeah.
You can do it anywhere in the world. Just like you get on your town clothes in like a certain costume, like even the punching gloves, which is the only thing I have for my guy. But like it's you just have straight up costume brawls.
Well, what does that mean?
So if you see another person with a costume just running around in the middle of the town or whatever, anywhere, literally, and you attack them with your costume skills. So each costume skill now has attack skills, and then you initiate a costume brawl, which is like a small little mini game. No one dies, no one gets hurt, but basically you get like buffs and stuff like that tell you what points
you
are.
When I do it, people get hurt. I fear.
Okay, and so basically
I feared some dude in the Wuv-Wuv.
Oh, wow.
The Mad King's outfit.
Nice.
So basically, you use your costumes, and other people use their costumes, and you use all of the special skills that were included with the costumes. It's like a really fun little mini game. And then you get like
what's
costume
also
champions, stuff like that.
Really awesome is hopefully when these things sprout up in like really big groups, like towns or what have you, when one person is doing really well and it just keeps winning brawl after
they
brawl,
they get a crown for 25 consecutive wins.
Yeah, and so everyone just looks at him and say, "I'm going to kill that guy."
Everyone just suddenly starts piling on
that. It just paints a target right over his head.
And then he times out and just stands there.
Yeah. And speaking of costumes, I also dumped $20 into costumes today, and I fucking hate myself.
What?
Yeah, I put like
$20 on costumes.
What'd you buy?
I think I put 60 ish in this game.
I bought the Mad King Thorn costume for 700 gems, and then I bought another 200 gems with gold.
Okay.
And then I bought this like phantom mask or something like that, and then a witch's costume, and I have 200 gems left. I don't know what to spend that on.
I'm fairly certain the things that you got are permanent. I don't think there's anything temporary.
Yeah,
no, there's nothing temporary. I'm just saying like.
Well, no, there's.
They're temporarily available.
Candy corn.
Yeah. Wait,
I dropped $20 on stuff.
Revan, how in the fuck did you spend $60?
I bought the Mad King costumes. That was like 10-ish.
Yeah.
Or close to 10, and then I bought a bunch of keys just because I felt like it.
Okay. Oh. Great.
But.
Well, okay. We should point out they've added some new things to the chests.
Yeah.
That are specific to the Halloween stuff.
Oh, really?
But they didn't like. I guess people just
they're actually like special weapon
skins. Have a really high drop rate with the chests.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty rare, and like this whole thing flamed up of. Why, like, we've wasted so much actual money. You guys lied to us.
Lied to me. I wasted $700 on chess. Why didn't I get anything?
They're like, I got nothing. It's like, well, that's RNG. And
it's called gambling, man. Go to Vegas.
Yeah, out of this uproar, they sort of made, like, you know, a compromise. And for, like, anybody who does have, who did do the holiday stuff and has a ton of candy corn built up, don't just get rid of that crap. You can use that plus the boosters and whatnot that you would normally get from the chests, and you can use
Mystic Forge
to make
a lock and key chest, not a chest
piece.
Coolest
thing about Halloween, by far, that I can think of, is that the Mystic Forge now has a huge fucking cauldron in the middle of mine. Awesome.
Yeah. And Cynic, if you jump inside, like, you need a little jumping puzzle to get up around it. You jump inside, it spits you out as a random costume.
Oh, really? I didn't know you could.
So, like, I jumped in there, and I got spit out as a plastic spider.
That's cool.
And then you get sworn by everyone that is the Zerg of the costume ball.
Yeah. It's great.
That's pretty awesome.
It's great.
I fucking love this.
Yeah. It's such good encouragement to buy costumes.
I think that's all of the Halloween events. Don't you think so? Ribbon?
Oh, wait. No. We forgot one thing really important.
The scavenger hunt. That's right.
Let's get that before Revan.
Right. No, that's it. There's nothing else after the scavenger hunt.
But, nothing else would have pissed people off.
Yeah, basically, what the scavenger hunt is.
Well, the scavenger hunt pissed a lot of people off.
What is the scavenger hunt?
It's basically.
Is this the scavenger hunt?
It's a literal scavenger hunt across Tyria. Well, not Tyria. Kryta.
Cool.
The human settle zones. And it basically goes around, you talk to ghosts, you look at riddles, and then you find hints, and then you do events, and then you get a scavenger hunt.
It was a little tricky because you had these clues to go off of, and then you had to, like, use this device to look for ghosts.
Right.
I really hope with the next ones, it's not like, you can actually, it's tangible, you can see the thing in the game, rather than just like you...
Right.
You had to use this, like, ghost device to, like, when it
yeah, you have
from
a detector. You have
nothing
a ghost detector.
To maybe someone's here. Yeah. only the premium members who got to see my webcam got to see what I did there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they changed animations and, like, oh, okay, I'm going to start wasting candy corn to spam to see if there's a ghost here.
Okay.
But the thing is, so there were originally 6 different clues you could do in the first act. And with the second ad, they added 6 more. So the first one gave you a book you can put on your back. Is it a book of Mad King Thorn or something like that, right?
Yeah. It's the
Mad Memories
back item they've added or something.
Oh, and then the next 6 they added with Act 2 gave you a flaming book to put on your back.
That actually is a light source, apparently.
Yeah, it's literally a burning book that sits on
people,
your back.
People use it in the dark room.
That's awesome. Right.
So we're wondering whether or not, like, in the next 2 updates, they're going to add more to that, because the original book said, oh, this book seems incomplete. Maybe you should find more stuff. But now the second book says, oh, everything's complete. This is the complete edition. So I'm really curious on what they're going to do with the scavenger hunt if they update it at all.
Hmm.
They could do an expanded edition and then the true final edition.
Yeah.
Volume 2.
Yeah, I guess one minor thing we'll go over, and just as a reminder, like, Riven needs to show me this dark room puzzle. But they've added 3 puzzles, and they updated a 4th one to have an achievement on it.
Right.
So it's more stuff in the world.
By puzzles, you mean jumping puzzles, don't you?
Jumping
puzzles in the world.
So one's Halloween, but that's unimportant. It's actually really shit and really easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest, I haven't tried them out. They're just regular jumping
puzzles. I did it on, like, a Norn and a Char already. It's super, super easy.
My friend without any arms, legs, or a mouth, or eyes.
Wait, is he lying?
Fuck Norn and fuck Char.
I did do it on my giant Norn named Wario Mario.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the last event that they added in Act 2.
Mad King's Clock Tower. Fuck ArenaNet.
That clock tower. I've
Mad
gone
King's Clock Tower. So before you get to this story,
set
it up.
Go ahead and it.
Mad King's Clock Tower is a new jumping puzzle they added specifically for this event. And basically, when you go there, everybody goes there and kind of is as a big group, you know, each instance of it or whatever. And it's basically a timed jumping puzzle.
Right.
As you're attempting to jump up it, and you're kind of jumping around this clock tower.
So they combine 2
of
the worst things in gaming: MMO platforming
and
timers on your screen.
Yes,
that's great.
And as you're doing green smoke is coming up as you're doing it. And if you fall behind and fall into the green smoke, you then reset back to the beginning and have to wait until either everybody else finishes or fails in order to try again.
Yes.
You can do this.
There's a third element to this that is you are doing it with other people.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're playing it with, say, a Norn or a Char who are fucking gigantic.
Or 6 Norn and 3 Char.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
what?
Good fucking luck seeing your goddamn character.
Pieces of rubble that are blowing, like, exploding off the clock tower.
We're talking about
pieces
that would be...
And then you're trying to aim at, like, tiny pieces of rock that are covered by giant Norn and giant Char standing on it, so you don't know where you land.
Or maybe, you know, long 2x4s that you're needing to try to jump to at a long distance.
So I think we've set the picture. Riven, go.
What do you mean, go? Tell the
story. So, okay, let me just...
Tell your tale.
Okay, so basically...
tell
it. This was
spin us a web that is the tale.
So, Riven tried... Yesterday, Riven, I hopped onto the Mumble server for a bit before I went to some sort of charity fundraiser. And Riven, everyone was sitting here yelling and doing this puzzle. And I'm like, it's a fucking jumping puzzle. Are you fucking serious? Stop yelling. And then Riven described to me what happened. Would you describe to me what happened?
I got so fucking mad doing that jumping puzzle, I chucked my mouse in a fridge.
Wait, is there any specific part of the jumping puzzle that you...
All of it.
The entire thing.
There are some very specific places that are the worst. There's one where there's a very tight right-hand turn. Mm-hmm. There's also
all of
one...
it's right-hand turns.
Well, yeah. Right, there's that one, though, where it's like a really sharp right to that really long jump. And then there's also the nearly vertical cogwheel that you have to jump on just right, otherwise you'll slide off of it.
That sounds like the fucking...
That was not actually the point where I threw the mouse. The point where I threw the mouse was the block that's covered by the green smoke.
It's pretty much as you, I'd say about halfway up this jumping puzzle, you're constantly turning right. And it gets to this part where there's these two fairly sized thick, like, you know, okay, I can easily walk these things, chunks of, like, cobblestone, I guess. Mm. Like parts of the things like a wall be made of brick. And they're pretty solid chunks. You get to that, and then like you don't see anything to the mid-right. You have to actually have to, like, turn the camera noticeably, and you see this one tiny, like, you know, square-shaped...
Yeah, probably like what? Like maybe brick. 3 foot by 2 foot brick?
Yeah, like the size of a shoe.
You can size 6 shoe.
You can land on it. You can't walk on it.
Yeah. You have to quick, like, land, jump again. Right. And then you go from there to, I think, just like a plank or something.
I think it was a cogwheel or something.
You go from there to another larger piece, and then you jump up to some stairs from there.
Yeah. And so just usually by the time you've made it, unless you were on top of your shit, the goo, like the ooze or acid, whatever this stuff is, it's all the puke from all the candy corn people have eaten and then thrown up. Yeah, is slowly rising up.
Is it really? Is that really what it is?
No, but it should be.
I would hope. That'd be
people
great.
People say it's ooze.
So anyway, there's one other, like, really kind of irritating part, and that is the, like, leap of faith.
Oh, yeah.
That, there's a jump where you have to literally... You're climbing up this whole time. You're just constantly going up. And at this one point, there's nowhere to go up. You have to jump down, and it's so far down that you will do the fall flat on your face animation and have to stand up.
Okay, that's cool.
And if you are behind in just the slightest, when you do that fall... The time that it takes to do that animation is too long, and you will be succumbed or taken in by the green stuff, and you have to start over.
One of the best times I've had on the jump puzzle was when I failed one time because I was going too fast, and where I normally jump, because I don't jump onto where the chest is on the leap of faith, I jump to the right of it. It wasn't there when I jumped, and I just missed it.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to talk about the one where you ended up messing up because you got completely thrown off because I was actually behind you, and you weren't expecting anyone to be there. And then he just ran off the edge.
Yeah.
They also stuck a chest in the middle where people would stop by thinking,
completely fucked up.
There's
a chest halfway through, like right after that jump. There's a chest there that you can go over and try to grab. Don't fucking grab that because it's nothing.
You die.
It's just there to fuck with you.
The best part is the guy who made the puzzle said he put the chest there, so if people aren't finishing it, they at least get something from it.
What's in it?
Yeah, right.
It's just candy corn. Yeah, it's just as they're opening the chest, they're just crying.
Yeah. Once you finally make it to the very top, you're at the very, very top, and you're at where the clock itself is at. You have to then wait for the clock as it's spinning around. You have to wait for the clock.
I actually have something for you. This is going to give you a laugh. I was, like, we were getting real stuck on the drop part. We just didn't, nobody looked down in, like, the group of jumpers I was with. And when we finally, like, figured that out, like, one person made it ahead of me, and I was right behind them, and, like, apparently it actually splits in the last part before you do, like, it goes to the stairwell to the clock tower. I kept going one direction, but when you reach the stairs that make this 90-degree turn inward, I tripped.
What?
And so this was, like, Friday night. I was the first one in the guild to, like, you know, make it there. I trip and fall. And Cassandra runs past me as I'm falling, and then just jumps and makes it to the top. And I was just like,
the person you said you didn't want to beat you.
I actually saw the exit. Like, I saw the finish.
It was within sight. It was within my grasp.
Wait, so what point in this did Revan just fucking go insane?
Yeah,
about after 4 straight hours of failing.
You did this for how many hours and why? Why would you,
Revan?
Do
was
this?
Was it before or after I was it before or after I came on and decided to join you guys in doing it and then finished it before you?
It was well before that.
So you saying
and at that point I've made peace.
And then proceeded to sit there for like over an hour waiting for you to finally finish it.
I finished it and then we waited for insane.
Now mind you, Cynic, he threw his mouse in his refrigerator. He actually had to go to the store and buy a new mouse in order to complete this jumping puzzle.
And here's something I think is insane. What were you using as a way to move to turn your body left and right in game?
Keyboard.
Using the mouse?
I was using the keyboard.
He was keyboard turning on a jumping puzzle.
An endurance timed jumping puzzle where you're constantly having to move your body right. He was using his keyboard.
That is the best twist to this story I could have possibly imagined.
Best part is, I could make it halfway through that fucking jumping puzzle. Keyboard turning.
No, actually, I think the best part is, what did you think of doing after you broke the mouse before you went to go get a new mouse?
You mean the thing you offered to do?
No. The thing is like, well, if I can't use a mouse, I'm on a laptop.
Oh, that the poor like fuzz like fuck this. I'm gonna try the fucking touch.
Oh.
I actually did. I actually did not try the touchpad. I should.
So you're using a wireless mouse, I assume. You didn't just rip out the cable and shit. That way. Okay. Cool. No. I've never heard of anyone throwing.
So that was actually what I learned going like about halfway through my attempts of trying to do this podcast. Before coming home, jumping puzzle. Before coming home and logging into the game, I had actually gone over to Best Buy, and that was when I actually went there to go check out the Wii U. But while I was there, I wanted to see if they had the G600 to kind of try it out in my hands and see the size on it and everything. Right. And they did, and I checked it out, and the next to it was actually the G700.
Ooh, yeah.
So I decided to go ahead and pick that one up too, and I was like, huh, this actually, like, it doesn't have as many buttons as the 600, but it has more than enough for me because I use the Nostromo, so that's where most of my buttons are at. So it has the 4 on the side, like 2 or 3 on the top, and then a couple more in the middle near the middle mouse button. So more than enough for what I need, and it's wireless, and it's supposed to be a good wireless.
It's really good.
And it's the same price.
I would say that you can hack it, because when you plug in, it's got a very short USB cable on it, but if you plug it in via extension cable to your PC, it does everything over USB. So if the wireless doesn't work out for you, you can still be fully wired.
Well, yeah. And actually, I need to get a USB hub in order to hook the thing into my computer at this point, because I'm full up on my slots. Right.
So you switched over to the 700. So, it's a pretty good mouse.
So I haven't bought it yet, but I've switched. That's what I'm probably going to buy. And like, so fast forwarding now to about halfway through my attempts of trying to do this jumping puzzle.
I just want to ask, when you looked at, like, when you got it and you looked on the back of the box, did it have a little thing that said Riven Refrigerator Approved?
I don't think
it probably
can be
shouldn't
Riven
have,
Refrigerator Approved.
Because clearly it didn't work with his.
He chucked that. He's got an arm. Riven's got an arm. Like, he's a med student.
Oh, yeah.
Or a law student. I forgot what you were.
So,
yeah.
So because you're constantly going to the right, you're slowly twisting your wrist to the right with each adjustment of your camera. And at some points, there are some somewhat safe places to reset your mouse. And when I was resetting my mouse, my cable would get stuck on my desk.
Right.
And cause me to then fall off of the level because of the adjustment not going the way I wanted to go. So, like, halfway through this, I'm like, I should have just fucking bought that goddamn mouse.
Wireless mouse.
God damn it.
I have a suggestion for you. And something I really liked is, when I used to live in Indianapolis... I went to the cafe where we had like pretty like large size mouse pads, and what they eventually transitioned to, and if you go to conventions at all, you'll like have a decent chance of finding this, is like Magic the Gathering or just some sort of like card game.
Oh yeah, the play mats.
The pads they use.
Yeah,
get one of those, because I had no problem turning right because I had like twice
a meter
the distance of a normal mouse pad. Yeah.
Well, my old mouse pad is actually one of the medium sized Steel Series ones. Which actually would be a pretty decent size, but like it wasn't the mouse pad size that was the issue.
Oh, it was like the cord length.
Yeah, it was the cord when I went to go pull it, because like where my cord sits, I have a an L-shaped glass top desk, and the cord was actually getting stuck between the glass and the metal.
Oh, okay.
Wow, the corner part. How does that?
You might be able to get a clip for that or something that might help.
Or I'll just get a wireless mouse and just.
Or that works.
Use that as an excuse to finally spurge in the G700. That's straight.
Well, it's the same price as the 600. Yeah. So, and since I, you know, I'm already missing a button on this mouse as it is, I'm ready to get rid of it.
So, I'm just imagining like the monitor is in the corner, like the middle of the desk. You're on the like left side of it, and by the time you're halfway up the tower, you've like stretched out your whole body.
Wait, so
okay, I'm still
as
going
a person
right.
who didn't get to see most of Halloween stuff, what's been your favorite part of the Halloween stuff?
Watching Riven go up that puzzle and throw his mouse.
Hey, I can finish that puzzle now. I can
finish it. Well done, sir.
His whole and then he did it again. That's the crazy part.
Because he's fucking crazy.
I finished it on all but one of my characters because the only character I haven't done it on is my level 2 Savari.
But why would you do? What's the reward for doing this?
An exotic.
Okay.
A level 80 exotic specifically.
Yeah. Get a Mad King exotic item that we believe is going to be part of a set, like the other ones will release with Act 3
or cool.
something.
Right.
But yeah, I think I had a lot of fun doing the Lunatic Inquisition, just like with guildies and being like, okay, we're going to run as a pack, and then as more and more people become ghosts, like, oh shit, they know where we are.
Yep. Yeah.
And then eventually when we all got turned into ghosts, we're running as a pack again.
That's pretty cool. I'm surprised that they had events rather than just like reskinning the world is what I was expecting from them. And the fact that they added like maps and events and shit is kind of crazy.
Yeah. The amount of stuff that they put into this just makes me even more excited for Christmas or when
So how much of this do you think is a result of them wanting to make a good first impression on the holiday stuff?
They did sort of like start it off with a bang. Yeah. I mean, like they not only did they have the Halloween, they had jumping mm-hmm. puzzles. They had like they finally added. I know it's not spectator mode, but they had the paid tournament arenas finally mm-hmm. implemented.
Apparently, I haven't seen
it yet. Yeah, I think it's more so like not so much them like you know showing with the holiday events. It's more so this is them showing like look, we can put a lot of fucking content out real quick.
Right. Which is pretty
like cool. Don't worry. We know this is an MMO as opposed to this is more of an MMO than the Guild Wars 1 was. So you'd expect content updates to be smaller and you know,
right.
You know, more time between them. But no, we're gonna do it this way, just like we.
And I love
have.
How I actually believe because if noobs spent money on this video game, that means that a lot of people would have spent money on
like,
the video game.
I think that probably would have been my highlight is just. Infrastructure they've put in place for people buying costumes like Jesus Christ I spent $20 today on fucking costumes and that I think by adding the costume brawl and stuff like that and it's really encouraging people to spend money on the game because if
yeah it's giving you a reason gold,
good fucking luck
yeah well it's giving you a reason to buy those costumes given that they are town clothes stuff. So you're rarely really going to see them otherwise. Like putting in the incentive to actually put them on and go and find other people and you know brawl like, with them. Like that's I mean, at least because, something.
Because in the original Guild Wars, it's like you got you spent $10 on a costume. Now you can AFK with that costume on in Ascalon. Yay! But and now you actually have shit to do. You know you can like for the best part about it, the witch costume is if you press 4. Your witch gets up on a broom with this really stupid fucking smile on your face.
And apparently if it's a char, they fucking surf the broom.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And it's just ridiculous. It's just you run around doing that stuff.
Yeah.
And even for like the Mad King Thorn, if you press 3, your Mad King Thorn tells a joke that everyone
can hear. Really bad joke.
Yeah.
Really bad joke.
Terrible joke. When were humans and char friends? Never. And that was a joke. And that was the fucking best moment of my day. Best moment of day. But I will say that the fucking jumping
puzzle.
When
I told the guy to release the like script prisoner, he said, I don't give a script.
I'm just saying.
So Revan and Suki quality jokes, but Guild Wars 2 theme.
Yeah. And it's like voiced and everything too. And basically.
There's one where he gives up halfway through.
That's fantastic. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck that jumping puzzle. I think every time I fall off that jumping puzzle, someone from our arena net should
a fairy dies. Oh, right, yeah.
That's the only way I will get redemption for that jumping puzzle.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
When he said that, I rolled a Norn just to piss him off and stuff.
Yeah. Wait, so you can do this at level 1?
Yes. It skills you up.
Or level 2, I assume. Yeah.
For the labyrinth areas, at least.
That's cool.
Actually, another really fun moment, Riven and Shinboy and a couple other bombers had a lot of fun with this is before Halloween even started. It's like the time of the update. We got word that in one of the overflows in Lion's Arch, there was a dev who just happened to be like, he was AFK, well, pseudo AFK. He was there, but he wasn't moving. He was talking, but he was on top of the Lion's Arch statue, like the proper lion, the one that, as Noob said, is like being corrupted by something and breaking apart. But he was the guy who built that model.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
and we talked to him and all sorts of stuff and had a really great time. And
we harassed him with questions.
Oh yeah,
I thought you guys griefed him or something.
We kind of we're trying to grief him with the fireworks.
It was half griefing, half like choreographed firework display.
Cool,
flag.
Yay! That's
we asked him the batter knife question.
Oh yeah,
what did he go for?
He went for the bat.
Wait. Okay, so let's just sign on bat. Bat is clearly the option.
Yeah, bat.
Durin, do you disagree?
The only reason
I'm part Mexican, so I'm gonna have to go with the knife.
Fuck you, Revan.
I go knife just because I'm concerned about my ability to swing a bat.
No, but the thing is, it's so much easier to disarm someone with a knife than disarm someone.
I would disagree.
When you're carrying a knife,
it's easier to disarm someone with a bat, as long as they're not attacking you.
No, that's what I'm
saying. If they're attacking you at the same time, yeah, you're right.
What are you saying? Like, of course, the bat has way longer reach.
For example, if you miss with the bat, then you're really easily disarmed from that point onwards. That's the problem.
Yeah.
If you miss with a bat, the other guy has a knife. You're dead.
Yeah, you're dead. You're pretty much dead.
Why not just have a gun? That's so fucking simple.
No, but you might not be dead. You might not be dead if he hits you with a knife. Because it's not like you are a stationary target. Like, why would you why would you plant your feet and swing the bat as opposed to just staying on the move?
Double press S. You can evade. Yep. Didn't you learn anything?
Haven't you played Guild Wars 2? But yeah.
Gotta use the double tap. Now, as much as I would love a, like, originally I was bad, but
it's like a deep confessional. I was bad.
You can throw a knife and kill a motherfucker.
So a person who is trained with a knife could throw a knife and kill a motherfucker. You probably could not.
The funniest way for this fight to possibly end is if the dude throwing the knife gets it hit back at him by the guy with the bat that hits him in the head.
No, I don't know. I like, once I've won the fight, I'd rather have a knife so I can, like, slowly
you'd have both
the dude who tried to
if
attack
you won
me.
The fight.
No, but
to anyone who doesn't know this question, because I know there's a few people who listen to Licking Cast who aren't part of the Giant Bomb community. First off, check out giantbomb.com. It's a website. Yeah. About
so batter or knife is not a Giant Bomb question. It's just a common question.
Oh, I thought
no, but
I've
still,
heard on Giant
they may
Bomb.
Not have heard it. So go ahead.
The question is if you have to engage this other person in a fight, and you have a bat, an aluminum bat, or a, what is it, a 10-inch non-serrated knife?
Doesn't matter. It does a knife.
And you have a knife. You have to pick one, knowing that the other person will pick the other weapon. What do you choose?
Bat knife.
And I love that this question became even more relevant with the release of Hotline Miami.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that quick look.
That was a good quick look. That looks like a good game, but not, I don't know, a bit too manic for me.
Manic?
Yep.
Right. Is that
this
it?
Is where you, this is where you bring
it
back.
The end of the episode? I guess we cover Halloween,
so,
right?
No. One last question. Okay. So, if you had to choose between a knife or a... okay, so anyone have any plugs that they would like to share with us?
Please submit in the forums if you choose knife.
Oh, God. Yeah. There's probably a thread for that. There's probably like a many-page thread.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I feel like I was going to mention something really important, but I forgot. All right, Cynic, tell us your box story.
Oh,
I have that.
Oh, this is actually an interesting piece of news. Right.
So
as precursor to the news, about 2 months ago, I had a huge, like, well, not a huge, but I lost 10 gold in game on an item that was glitched that gave me the wrong items of return. It was a box that when unpacked is supposed to get a full set of armor. The armor is supposed to be the top tier level 80 exotic tier, but it was actually the rare tier, so it was the shit items instead. So I report that to Renet, and that pretty much went into the ether, because what was revealed by that box and me having that problem and therefore submitting it to support was that they couldn't, at the time they weren't capable of generating items to provide people as refunds for errors in the game. So they had no item generation whatsoever on the back end. So people who are getting like glitched items out of the Mystic Forge, glitched items out of the trading post and stuff, were just getting screwed over and over again. And it actually did ruin a couple people's experiences. Like, if you dig back into the thread on the Guild Wars 2 support forums about the box of Draconic Armor in this case specifically, which was really expensive. Like, some people lost 17 gold a month after the game. Like, not even. Like, 3 weeks after the game came out, which would pretty much be all their money. And literally, people just stopped playing because of it. So, what happened was just like, I think it was, yeah, Tuesday. So the first day of Halloween or so, they sent out, they finally sent me a box of Draconic Armor to replace the one that I purchased out of the trading post like 2 months ago, which is cool because I now have a skirt, but as a dude, which sucks. But on the other side of
it. Hey, what? Fuck you. I wear skirts all the time. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
So does this character.
Why would
I don't want to comment because like okay, so you probably shouldn't be wearing skirts because I know you have terrible legs. But if you,└└└└└
okay, all right, let me quickly take a picture.
If you,
oh god, no.
If you want to wear a skirt, I'm not going to stop you from wearing a skirt because it's a life choice, you know. If you enjoyed that,
yeah. It's not a skirt; it's a utility kilt.
But yeah, so they sent me a box of Draconic Armor, which is awesome. So now I have essentially that 10 gold back. But also it reveals that they are now capable of generating items in the back end and giving people support when they need to, which is awesome. And it took them a while. It did take them about 2 months to do. But hey, now you can purchase things on the trading post and even with gems if you want securely, because they can actually refund you the items now, which is good. That's my news.
Good. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So, would you rather have a car or a bat?
So I wanted to plug the linking cost. Oh, we should probably say that I'm probably not going to be a regular guest as much anymore. Right. So Nubarama and Durin right. are going to alternate as hosts.
Are going to be editing. I'll be editing the podcast.
No,
Cynic will actually continue to edit the podcast. I will probably be the stand-in host in the meantime, and maybe occasionally let Noob take the reins, because today he's clearly shown us that maybe not.
We just walk all over him. He just sits there and fucking takes it. So sad.
I don't want to say, like, hey, shut the fuck up. It's now this person's turn.
It's a paranormal MKT4,
so anyway,
guys.
Yeah. So,
I want you to do that every time.
So yeah, Noob and I will kind of trade off hosting on the podcast. Thurbleton will be a very frequent guest, if not every week.
Shut the fuck up!
As
it's my turn
for Cynic.
Yeah.
And as usual, we'll bring people like Revan in. You know, Suki if he has the time to do so, and you know, same
Shinboy,
as always. Shinboy, of course.
Suki,
yeah.
Suki is still on every now and then with Guild Wars 2. It's just, again,
he's back at school.
It's 5 a.m. for him. He's in med school. Med school.
So like, we'll still continue.
More likely during the summer vacation.
Yeah. So things will basically continue to go the way they have, with the exception of Cynic not being on a regular basis, Thurbleton kind of taking his place, and Noob and I trading off as hosts in Cynic's.
Right, because
absence.
Cynic got engaged, right? Congratulations.
I got engaged to a job.
He got engaged to his work.
Yeah. With your right hand, right?
So anyway, Cynic, you were saying about plugs?
Oh, yeah. So I just wanted to plug the Linking Cast Twitter and Gmail. So essentially, the Linking Cast on Twitter or thelinkingcast@gmail.com on Gmail. You can send us questions. Yeah, if you have any questions, we'll probably put them on the show, since we haven't gotten many since release, because, you know, there's not many questions out there. But if you want to hear what our thoughts are on, for example, endgame gear, what you should gear out, for example, which is totally going to be this episode if Suki could make it, but I don't think he could. And I didn't have the time to organize. So, but yeah, stuff like that.
And for the record, that was going to be last episode too, but
and
Suki
the episode
make
before
it,
that.
So. Yeah, so as soon as we get him on, we will have that episode.
And that, don't forget to plug that reading of Ghosts of Ascalon that we should do.
Oh, God. Oh!
Audiobook. Oh, God, I forgot all about that.
Has there been a book I've read that's been good? Oh, Leviathan Wakes, the the sci-fi novel is also pretty good. I'd check that out if I were you.
The Leviathan.
No, it's just called Leviathan Wakes. It's pretty awesome. It's half detective. No, I think I talked about this. But
yeah, I think you did. Yeah, I think you did. Yeah, actually.
The social contract.
Like, what would that have been? 3 weeks ago, I think. Now, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. Fuck.
When you left us to get engaged and went
and
on
don't
your whatever.
Ever go to the Linkin Cast Facebook page.
Facebook. Okay, look.
Never, don't ever enter our Mumble.
Yep.
No, that's actually what I was going to say. Definitely enter the Mumble. Go to the Giant Bomb forums, the Guild Wars 2 sub forum. You know, find our
you don't know what we talk about when you're not
and
there.
Yeah, know that the conversation that goes on is probably at least threefolds more offensive than anything you'll ever hear on here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're talking about, like, anime. How to build something as an engineer.
Yeah.
Or anime.
Yep. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude,
or human sacrifice, you know, whatever cast. Just happens
Shit.
To come up.
Cynic, can you make it for the anime cast?
Probably, yeah. Just tell me when it's on.
That's all we need.
Just tell me when it's on, yeah.
Yep, all right. We can get, like, Dr. Creation and JKC, and we can get that anime
oh, God.
Cast going.
God damn.
I only right, watch the worst anime, and you know this.
Holy shit.
Yeah, we can talk about
you know,
Boku no
there's actually
and Bible
an
Live.
Opening for a Giant Bomb anime podcast.
Yeah, there is.
Oh my god!
Wait,
there's an anime discussion.
There's a Giant Bomb anime podcast.
No, apparently, there's gonna be
the whole
oh,
a Giant Bomb community anime podcast. Post it in that anime thread.
Well,
that
I mean,
shows
informed
up.
Anime people.
I'm not gonna out which of the members of the Linkin Forest have agreed to do this, but some of us have agreed to have a Skype session watching Sailor the new series of Sailor Moon when it comes out in the summer.
Dude, we should
because we're crazy.
I would be willing to help.
Well, we know
produce
Suki will
the
be one of
anime
them.
Podcast. If you want to do that, noob, let's do that.
All right, let's do it.
We can have a Giant Bomb Community
so
anime
this,
podcast.
This week, did you guys see the new Boku no Pico episode?
Not now.
No,
end out the show.
Not now.
End out the
save
show.
It also, save it.
Oh,
yeah.
Also, oh right, okay, God,
so,
don't look Boku no Pico up.
I will plug, you know, like I said, Linkin Cast, Mumble, definitely. Right. Check us out there. Especially if you are a guild member, like, definitely hop on there. There's people on there willing to help with whatever, or just people to fucking talk to, because MMOs are fucking boring when you're playing by yourself.
Agreed.
And you will not be bored on that Mumble, I can guarantee you that.
Unless no one else is on. So, usually US time is
probably
the best
which,
time to be on.
Which, I mean, most weekdays, the numbers are a little lower, but you'll generally see a couple people on.
Right.
And then I'm going to go ahead and plug my
finally
Twitch channel because I've randomly started streaming.
Yay.
Again. I'm not doing camera because my webcam for some fucking reason has continued to crash Windows Explorer every time I try to actually enable it using any kind of a program.
Okay.
But now that I've learned that that's the only problem, I can continue streaming just without a webcam.
What the fuck? You have a camera problem as well?
I have a weird thing not sort of a webcam problem. Whenever I try to like turn the video on Skype or whenever I turn my webcam on when I'm streaming, which I'll get to after Durin's plugs, it like the pop-up set like says it's not working, but I can see that it's working, and it like I just minimize it throughout the course of the video like part, and then once I'm done with it, I was like, okay,
yay.
You have an error, and then otherwise keeps popping up.
Yeah, see, I don't know why mine just crashes Windows Explorer every time I try to open it. I've recently wiped all of the software for it and reloaded new software. I'm going to try that. If that doesn't work, I'm going to have to go in and fucking mess with some registry files,
yeah, registry,
and move everything from my computer.
Oh,
and,
I got
and
to play Windows
that.
8.
If that doesn't work,
I got
I
to play with Windows
know.
8. Finally,
is it?
It is actually is it, pretty like, cool.
Yeah, yeah, everyone who hasn't touched it yet are like, "Oh, this is fucking shit." And then people who have actually said it or used it.
Well,
like,
I'm just I'm unsure about it, and
yeah,
the it's sounding like at launch is not a good
it
time to get
it.
It
is not good
if
you have. By the way, like specifically, I will very much say this: if you have a 27-inch monitor and a 30-inch monitor, like I do, it is not very good at all. Like we plugged it into we plugged a laptop, my friend's laptop, into my computers. To get that working, and I had that way because I wanted to see that laptop. We also recently installed it onto another friend of mine's PC as well, because a lot of the gestures are from the top and bottom corners of your monitor, and you have a big ass monitor, then it's just to get anything done, you're like fucking waving your arm around in your desk like fucking crazy.
Well, and not only that, but it's also not very good for dual screen monitors.
I haven't tried it simultaneous
dual screen setups. I mean,
yeah.
Because there are some gestures that you have to trigger from the edge of the screen, and if you're trying to trigger it from, like, say, the edge of your left screen.
Oh, wow, that's stupid.
The right hand edge of your left screen, it's a real pain in the ass
to get. I should have tested that when he was here. Yeah, it's fucking.
So, yeah, if you have a dual screen setup, Windows 8 is not so good.
Windows 8 is pretty cool.
Yeah, for laptops, it's probably really great. For tablets, it's got to be amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're getting a Windows Surface, like, that...
But don't get Surface RT. It seems real slick.
No, do not... Yeah, don't get RT. Do not get RT.
Anyway.
It's the biggest waste of money ever. Anyway, yeah, so I'll be streaming something randomly. I've been streaming some Cook Serve Delicious. I'll probably do some more of that tomorrow. And I've also been streaming a little bit of Chivalry. I'll probably stream some Guild Wars 2, assuming it doesn't crash like it did last time I tried. But yeah, so I'll be kind of ongoing with that. It's kind of randomly every time I try to do it scheduled, it never works out, and I feel bad because I tell people, "All right, guys, see you again tomorrow," and then I don't show up. So just follow my channel. It's twitch.com/Durin, Durin, and you'll get an email when I go live. That's about the best I can do.
Double Durin.
Okay.
Like Durin said, check out his Twitch channel. I also stream as well. It's nowhere near regular. More often than not, I'll end up, like, I usually stream, hey, we're going to be doing this this dungeon run, and it's going to be crazy, I know, so I'm going to record it all. And
so most of your stuff is actually Guild Wars 2.
Yeah. Most of it is Guild Wars 2. I know that when I do Dishonored, I'm going to stream that. And it's going to be like
XCOM tomorrow, actually.
Stream a good game. Nah, I'm being mean. XCOM is actually good. It's just not as good.
Stream some Hearts of Iron 3.
It's good. I'm just not sure if it's a spectator game.
Yeah, that's the only reason I'm kind of not. Yeah, I don't know. It's a little slow burn.
It's nowhere near as good as Valkyrie Chronicles.
But yeah, it's twitch.tv/Thurbleton. It's not Thurbleton. It's straight up Thurbleton.
No, I'm French. It's Thurbleton.
Well, it's French are douchebags, which is why I made my Mesmer, who is a douchebag.
Hey,
French.
There you go.
Oh, you just called out those.
Oh, we have a Welshman listening to us, by the way.
Guild?
Really, really cool mini story. I said something in Wobof chat today, like basically, like, you know, Crystal Desert won the night because they have so many, like, dirty French Canadians. And I got a message from somebody on our server. It's like, I'm French Canadian. You got a problem with that? And it's like, my only problem is that we don't need enough of you.
Why would we want?
We
more
need more French Canadians. Indeed.
No, what's his face?
And they also need to join the guild.
I know we have at least one Welsh listener, which is hilarious because whenever we zoom is on, we immediately start bagging the Welsh. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I salute you, sir.
What? So hopefully next week shit's going to be better because I went bowling until 11 p.m. last night and I'm sort of tired.
Well,
next week she'll be better because I'm going to actually stream next week. Or not stream. I'm going to host next week, noob. So we're kind of already guaranteed it's going to be better.
Hey, man. I'm going to ruin it. It's time we fight.
That's great. Anyway.
But no, I also want to do a note to Tessa.com. Like, as we talked about last week, Drew and Alexis did a 24-hour Halo stream for
Extra Life.
Tessa.com did a 24-hour podcast for Child's Play, which, I mean, you may not go to their site a whole lot, but, I mean, Child's Play is... there's a lot of...
Oh,
Child's
you mean
Play
Jamie and Adam's tested?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It's crazy, because they have
They
have four of those cool pictures.
I know it more as Will Smith. And, yeah, and all those
Like, if you watch... Because they're going to have... They have a live stream for it, and it's good. So it's 24 hours long. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be archived in some shape or form. It's been...
Yeah, but by the time of this recording, most of it should be
out. Yeah, and the crazy thing is they have a cool new set for it. But on the back wall, there's four photos. So there's, like, there's Adam, I think it was, or Jamie. I keep forgetting. But then there's Will, Norm, and Joey. It's so weird seeing four faces there. Because it's supposed to be just Will and Norm and Joey. It's crazy.
And a lot, like, I think most or all the Giant Bomb people show up at different parts of the
24 hours
podcast. Yeah. 24 hours.
Even Ryan showed up, even though he said he wasn't going to.
And he showed up in the best. He just like stormed in with some, like, Doritos
and Doritos really and Mountain Dew
sweat. The Doritos and Mountain Dew. And he's just like, "All right, guys, what's up?"
Dude, what do you guys think of that Jeff? Anyway, whatever. Who cares?
But the donations, the Child's Play charity thing goes on until the end of this week, I think. Mm-hmm. So if you get this podcast right away, you can still go there, give some money to Child's Play. It's a good charity.
And Extra Life. Do if you have $15, give both $7.50.
Do it for the children.
Oh, and real quickly, calling back to earlier when Cynic was talking about Adam Savage's project, where they were talking about the horror movies, that was project number 14.
It was good. It was a good episode. I like that.
And again, go to the giantbomb.com website. It's the Lincoln Force Guild. We did the whole cleaning of the house. We got all the like the people who...
The great officer purge, yes.
Yes, yes. That I organized, but then slept through.
Yeah, I know.
And it was me,
Revan, who else was there?
Subs and...
Man, I haven't talked to Subs in ages. That guy's awesome.
I have a really bad habit
Subs
of sleeping
on,
through
like,
shit.
Subs is on right now. Snapping more than I was during that jumping puzzle.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised. That guy's a gentle soul.
We are a great community. We would love to have you listeners join us, but we are basically making the unofficial rule of you have to contact us through the forums of the Giant Bomb thing. We aren't just picking up people off the street.
If you're
a
pretty woman, have sex.
Unless you are an attractive lady, lady person.
Wait, what if you're a
you must invite from my room.
A teenage Asian man who wears skirts with really nice legs.
Noobs are in the guild.
If you are a teenage Asian person who wears utility
belts. Indeed.
Fuck you, utility belts.
Well, fuck you.
Fuck Ryan Davis.
With that, on behalf of myself, please have a nice day. And
have a nice day. That's a good way to end the podcast. That should be the thing.
No, you missed the last part, Cynic. It was have a nice day
and fuck off.
Fuck
off.
Fuck you.